BlakeRadio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, I got chilling for shit out.
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Not working hard. Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak. Or better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak. Took my life from negative to positive. I just want y'all to know that. And tonight, let's enjoy life. Pitbull, Naya, Neo. That's
tonight,
right.
I'm on love on you tonight. Give me everything tonight. For all we know, we might not get tomorrow. Let's do it tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio. Baseball doesn't stop us. The NBA Finals don't stop us, though we'll drop in some scores later on. No hockey tonight. That was last night.
Go Dallas! Please, dear God, go Dallas!
Yep, Spug and Mace are with us. Kevin Scott is listening, unfortunately, from a hospital bed. We'll talk about that after our first guest, Miss Alicia, the very lovely Alicia of Women Superstars Uncensored, will join us in hour number two. We'll get into everything from TNA Wrestling. We'll talk Tough Enough. We'll talk WWE, some indie promotions, send in some news to us. We'll talk about that. But our first guest is here for two reasons. One, to talk about his experience on WWE Tough Enough. No, not the most recent one. We're done talking to people that I'll save that for after he's here because I'm not too happy about the way that show ended. Our guest is also a member of Ring of Honor. We talked with the former owner, Kerry Silken, last week about the sale to Sinclair Media Group. He will be in a match at Best of the Best in the World, on June 26th at the Hammerstone Ballroom, which is 311 West 34th Street. Get out at Penn Station, walk up a block. You can't miss the place. He is going to be taking on the Briscoe Brothers, the Kings of Wrestling, and the ROH World Tag Team Champions, known as Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team, and that would be Haas and Benjamin. He is one half of the All Night Express, and one of our favorites, Mr. Kenny King, is here tonight, taking some time with us.
I completely forgot the NBA Finals were tonight. So,
we'll get you done in time. Don't worry. We'll get you done in time.
How's it going, Alan? How you guys doing?
Who's your favorite in the finals? Do you have a personal favorite?
You know what? I don't necessarily care. I'm a Magic fan. I like to see Dirk Nowitzki win because he's literally willing those dudes to be as good as they are. But I also like Dwayne Wade. So I don't know. It's a player battle for me. I don't like either team.
If you would have said LeBron, I would have had to have had Rock hang up on you immediately.
Hey,
who?
That's right. LeBron who?
I mean, listen, LeBron James is probably going to go down as one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived, but he's not going to go down as the greatest basketball player that ever lived. And somebody needs to go up to Chicago and poke Scottie Pippen in his big-ass head.
He lives in Miami now.
Like that.
Scottie
wherever
lives
he
in
is,
Miami.
Poke his ass in the head. Well, that's probably why, you know, the Heat agrees with him. Talk about LeBron.
Gotta ask, being a Magic fan, I gotta ask you, are you worried about Dwight Howard possibly following the path that Shaq and Penny Hardaway did and going, yeah, Orlando's really great, but I want to go to L.A., I want to go here, I want to go there?
Well, of course I'm worried about it, but See, when I lived in Orlando, I would kind of watch what they did to Shaq, and they kind of pushed Shaq out with all the publicity about, you know, it was kind of almost negative pub that they were putting in the newspaper every day because they were scared that he was going to go. So they would kind of talk, you know, talk crazy about him, and they're kind of doing the same thing with Dwight. I mean, but they need to, I don't know, that there needs to be better chemistry with that team. Oh, I don't see where else he would have to go. If he went to L.A., he'd have to clear everybody out. Paul Gasol would have to go. Lamar Odom, probably Andrew Bynum would have to go. So he'd have to go somewhere where they can build around him, which, and they have that in Orlando, but I don't know. I don't want him to go anywhere there, but
they got a brand new arena there, man. That building is packing him in, the Amway Center.
He's gonna go to the building that Ewing built.
He's gonna go to New York?
Really? He's gonna go to the Knicks with Paul, and you have Stoudemire and Paul and Melo. Shit, they're gonna end up there, and I guarantee you it's gonna be New York and Boston every year in the East Finals.
No, it's small. Let's be honest, it'll be New York and Miami. Boston's old.
Boston, I love Ray Allen, but they're starting to get old up there.
Yeah, right. It's Miami and whoever in the East for the next foreseeable future. And that's just being real. Unless Orlando can get their shit together, because that may not happen.
Just wait till the Cavs get their shit together.
Oh, right, because they were supposed to win before LeBron, right? I remember that nonsense.
No.
I guarantee.
Our owner is an idiot when it comes to that. He should have kept his mouth shut. He said that out of anger, and I can understand that. But with the first and the fourth pick in this year's draft, and quite possibly a top 10 pick next year, you're going to tell me that the Cavs aren't going to be in the playoffs within the next five?
Okay, I'll give you five, but that's maybe three or more rings for LeBron at that point.
They ain't going to win three. He ain't going to.
Possible three rings.
I'm going to put the cap at the how many rings those three win together at two.
I don't know. I think Chris Bosh is dead weight. I think he could go.
Chris Bosh is dead weight.
Everybody keeps forgetting. They talk about, the big two. He's like, I'm over here. I'm in the team, too.
Hey, that's a green.
In Toronto. That's why you don't recognize me. I was the one guy in Toronto.
I don't think anybody's going to mess with Miami for a little while. They got too much momentum now.
We shall see.
Yeah, Kenny King is also here. He's not here to be an NBA analyst, but we may bring him back when the new NBA season, if there's an NBA season. We may end up sending Kenny to New York to meet with David Stern and the owners, and they'll just tell him, look, you go with what I do here, or Rhett Titus and I knock you all out.
Well, that was my audition reel right there. So hopefully we can send that to David Stern.
Absolutely. We'll totally bring you back. We already have Steve Carino and Joey Ryan doing baseball analysis for us, so we can bring you. You can be our Stephen A. Smith or J.A. Adonde or one of those cats.
I'm personally a football guy.
Oh, we'll bring you back for football too. We had Brad Allen on for bowl picks, and he did pretty good against the Spug guy. They were neck and neck. So Spug unfortunately has to wear I believe it's the University of Miami.
He never got a hold of me.
He's got some issues going on right now with his career, so we'll email him again soon and let him know. For me.
I'm not a welcher, I pay my bets.
Yeah. There she is. Yeah, the tennis star in the car.
Uh-oh.
She wants to do an interview. We'll practice interviewing her later on.
Somebody's getting ready to do a 450 off the couch.
that's how she learned. She just started with the tumbleweed and then graduated to the 450. You have to go to tennis, okay?
You have a fortunate label to be placed on you, in that you're only one of, I believe it's three active people from Tough Enough history that most folks will remember. Of course, you have The Miz, who was in season four, which most people seem to forget, and then you have John Morrison, who at one point was Johnny Nitro and John Hennigan or Finnegan, depending on which name. But you were in the finals of season two. Were you surprised when they came back with this thing, or did you think Tough Enough was dead and why is it back?
Well, I mean, they definitely kind of brought that back to the original formula. Because what was the last one? The last one was $1 Million Tough Enough, right? Isn't that what the one Mike was on?
Yeah.
So, you know, with that, that became more of like a Price is Right kind of game show, you know, versus a competition like it was when, you know, the first three of them, I think. And the ultimate, Tough Enough was the ultimate, the original Ultimate Fighter. There was no other, you know, sportsy reality show like that before Tough Enough. So people are still going to be interested in it because it's watching people struggle, and it's watching the journey that started by doing this thing. And I have to admit, I watched half of one episode and didn't really watch the rest of the season, but I know that I saw the dude who won. He looked like a pretty big guy.
Yeah, we'll talk about him later on because I had some issues with that that we'll save. When were you surprised when a lot of stuff got released about the way they auditioned? Remind people what the audition process was like for you and people like Jake and Jackie Gaeta and Linda Miles. Explain what the way MTV in that era did auditions.
See, I didn't see, so I had no idea how they auditioned these guys, but we...
These guys went through a reality website. I think it was called Reality Wanted, and they sent in stuff like that.
Well, we had to send in applications and then tapes and then be submitted or selected from, you know, from some people that were watching MTV and WWF at the time, people. And then they gave 3,000, I think, invitations to come to Vegas and an audition. And I had two auditions over 2 days, and you get in the ring, and Bob Holly and Big and Al Snow would grill you, and JR would grill you. You have to do, like, physical stuff. And then I think it was, like, the second day. Then we had to run up that damn mountain.
Sunday night on WrestleTalk Radio, Spug Mace and I we interviewed Jeremiah Riggs, who was the last person to be eliminated from this past season. And I asked him something that I know from watching your season and the other two that were in a house with Big and all the people, that this season they never showed them doing anything in the house. And he said, well, it's because once the show ended, that, you know, everybody went into their rooms and ate and this and that, but you guys got to do all kinds of stuff. Do you wish you had been in a situation where they didn't film you once the training ended?
Hell no. That was part of the fun of being on the show, was that, you know, we were also in LA and we were able to kind of go out and enjoy the whatever it was about having a camera crew follow us and kind of enjoy the situation. So I think that was part of what made it compelling TV. That's also part of what makes it easy for them to manipulate, because they can kind of make anybody whoever they want them to be. But I think that was definitely a big aspect of it, was the fact that they were filming us no matter what we were doing.
You know, if you hadn't gone overseas and had your night of love and was dubbed Kenny King, I believe by Linda Miles did it. What would have been your ring name? Did you have one in your mind if you had won Tough Enough to go into WWE? Did you have a ring name?
I didn't at all, actually. And I'd like to say for the record, that was my twin brother Marcus. It was Marcus King. We did that in Africa. That's just for the record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sometimes it happens a lot out here, even in Vegas. You know, Marcus King does things and gets Kenny King in trouble. So, that damn Marcus, he's a bastard for real. But
he's the one that rang up a lot, you know, Tab, didn't he?
he's the same one, I'm telling you. And he got my signature down pat, too, so...
I know you have a great career going in Ring of Honor and you have a great personal life, but do you sit there and kind of go, you know, I'm better than any of these kids that came out of 3 and 4 and the one they just did? Was there ever any mental aspect of crap that should have been me, or did you just go, okay, I'm going to turn this negative into positive?
Well, I did that maybe like the first 2 or 3 years. But as it was both sides of the coin, because, you know, it kind of pissed me off, and I would kind of go back to it. Yeah, I'm better than these guys. Look at them. But then it also would drive me to show it and to prove it. So it was a big part of me staying with it and working as hard as I did the first couple of years after Tough Enough, because I wanted to show everybody that I, regardless of, everybody knew I was better, and everybody still knows I'm better. So, you know, it's something I've let go of personally. You know, it's been a long time, and I feel honestly that I may not have been as good if I would have went through the developmental system. I feel like the path that I've taken, and been able to wrestle some of the best wrestlers in the world from all over the world, different places, has really kind of shaped me and shaped my career, and shaped me as a pro wrestler.
Yeah. We've talked Ring of Honor here in the past with your tag team partner at Titus. We've had Roderick Strong on. We had Austin Aries recently, and this past week, as I mentioned, we had Kari Silken on. What was your initial reaction when the announcement came out that ROH was sold to the Sinclair Media Group? Did you have a panic moment, or did you go, okay, this is cool, this is more forward motion in the evolution of Ring of Honor?
Well, I mean, the only panic moment came, I mean, it was for a brief moment, because it made me realize what that meant, and then that Kari Silken wasn't the owner. So the only thing that kind of made me go, oh shit, is Kari going away? Because Kari is pretty much really the heart and soul of Ring of Honor. And it really wouldn't be the same if Kari Silken wasn't involved with it. But that was one of the first things that he covered, that he wasn't going anywhere. He was going to still be around. And that's what made me feel at ease, because Kerry's a big part of the reason why I decided to stay with Ring of Honor the last few years. And then on top of that, it's in order for the thing to grow, it's got to get bigger, and it's got to go through different phases, and we have the product. And all we really need is the presentation and the money to push it to where people can see it. You know, the more people that see it, the more they have the opportunity to take it and compare it to what they're being offered, and really evaluate it, you know, based off of what, you know, with the other wrestling products that are out there. And I can guarantee you, we can snag back a whole lot of fans that have been turned off by what's been being presented.
Oh, I guarantee it. With the right packaging and money behind ROH, you will be the number two company in wrestling.
And because that's the thing. It's got to be the right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, because we all know TNA ain't going anywhere with their continuation of insulting their fans.
And insulting Kenny, because I remember all the stuff that went down there, which was not fun.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I got this right, Spock. ROH could be the number two company. Wouldn't this make them the number one because TNA's crapping on fans and WWE doesn't like to be called wrestling?
Yeah, there's no wrestling in WWE.
Well, technically there is no wrestling in WWE, so that would make us a wrestling company.
Whatever.
A nice proper action star.
But let's not get into semantics here.
Yeah, we're really good at that, though.
Let's not get into semantics here. I mean, seriously. You know, I go back to the days of ROH with CM Punk and Samoa Joe and Ebison and Jack Evans and yada, yada, yada. You know, the real heyday in a lot of fans' eyes of ROH. And you have individuals there now, Shelton Benjamin. I mean, the Briscoes were there. Back in the day, you had the Rottweilers. You know, you have all these individuals in ROH who can turn it into something fantastic with the proper amount of money and packaging behind them, and with the Sinclair Media Group buyout. I can't wait. I really can't wait. because I want to see Bischoff and TNA shit their pants when they realize that they're non-existent anymore, that they don't matter.
Well, you know, the thing about that is this. It really sucks either way, because business was the best when you were flipping literally, and it was on my TV, it was 31 and 33 between TNT and USA in the late 90s to see who was doing what, and you couldn't decide which channel you wanted to watch because they were both that damn good. And that's when the business was the best. So nobody, you know, if you're a wrestling fan, you don't really want to see anything, you know, TNA go out of business or anything like that, because there's dudes out there that are so talented, it's just that it's not being done the right way. And that's, you know, that's just the problem. So if Sinclair and us, and we can bring a true wrestling alternative, maybe we can turn the business back around. Maybe we can make it, you know, to where it has to correct itself. We have to start paying attention to what the market wants. And we have to understand that this is 2011 and 2012, and we get to see UFC fights on Spike TV. So we can't treat our fans a certain way because they're not just turning channel. Unfortunately, yep. That's kind of what's going on right now. People have to be engaged.
Do you watch MMA?
I do watch MMA. I used to train. I used to train MMA. Back in 1998, I trained at the second Gracie School in the United States. It was ran by Hicks and Gracie in Orlando, Florida. And I fell in love. I was back in when UFC used to have to go like the back room and Blockbuster was out there bomb, and they would treat it the same way they would treat the porno tapes, where you couldn't look directly at it, but you could still check them out. You know, I've been a fan of UFC and MMA since back then, and I really think that MMA is doing pro wrestling better than we are right now. And that's why they've been able to snatch such a big share of our fan base away.
Yeah, you, Spug and Mace are both with us, and they host an event when the UFC or Strikeforce has events called From Tapouts to Knockouts, where I join them and basically get schooled by them on the MMA stylings. Who is your personal favorite of the current roster that UFC has? Is there a favorite fighter of yours?
I have one of my favorite fighters. It's Vitor Belfort. And I was really hoping that against Anderson Silva he could turn it around. But I really think that Anderson Silva is a killing machine. I don't see any flaw in his game whatsoever. He's long. His striking ability is ridiculous, and his pinpoint accuracy. The way he kicked Vitor Belfort in the chin with his back leg was ridiculous. So that dude is, I don't think there's anybody better.
GSP'd beat him.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes,
GSP
he would.
Is
he would.
Absolute
oh.
Animal, too. But GSP wouldn't. He couldn't compete with the reach and the length.
He doesn't
so
have
GSP,
to.
What do you mean he doesn't have to? He's
he
got
to
get inside.
I will give you three examples, sir. I will give you three examples. When he fought Dan Hardy, or when he fought Josh Koscheck the first time, everybody talked about how tremendous a wrestler Josh Koscheck was and how he was going to take St. Pierre down and make St. Pierre work the entire fight. What did St. Pierre do? He kept Koscheck on his back in the cage the entire fight. All 25 minutes, he made Koscheck work. The next Koscheck fight, it was all about how Koscheck's striking had improved. He was going to stand GSP up, beat GSP with his strikes. Koscheck walked out of that cage looking like a trailer park wife who told her man she wasn't going to make a sandwich and get him his meth that night.
Right.
And then you have the Dan Hardy fight. Dan Hardy, great submissionist. Five times in that fight did GSP have Hardy almost tap him. And he eventually did tap him out. GSP is a chameleon. He can adapt to any style and adapt to anything that he needs to win. That's why he would beat Anderson Silva.
I would agree with you up until this point. Those are very good points, except that Anderson Silva would maul Josh Koscheck and Hardy. And those, neither of those guys are fighters the level of the caliber of Anderson Silva. Not saying that it wouldn't be a great fight. Who's going to go up? Are they going to meet in the middle? You know, it also depends on who's fighting at what weight.
I think the initial thought was that GSP would take a year to move up and get comfortable with the weight. But then the other thought was is that Silva would move down and they would fight at a catch weight. I think of 175, somewhere in there, because Silva fights at 185 and GSP fights at 170.
Right.
So there was there's a 15-pound swing that has to happen, and I can't remember what Dana White had said on a podcast of what the eventual fight would be. But Anderson Silva's got to win his fight first.
Okay. Okay. I was pulling for Vitor Belfort. Everybody was like, "You're crazy." I was pulling for him, and obviously I was crazy, but. Anderson Silva showed me that he's dominant. I mean, that's just dominating. The dude can pick you off from any angle. He can destroy you on the ground. It's his body style. He's literally like a spider. The dude he's amazing.
Who do you have for Saturday? Who do you have for Saturday? Dos Santos or Carlin?
I don't know. I haven't really seen either of those fight in a while. I'm not sure who's on top of the game. I haven't seen Junior Dos Santos fight, but the last time I saw him fight, he wasn't that impressive. I can't remember who he fought, but... Hello?
Oh, we're here. Go, Alan.
I got to wrap with this statement. You're going to be a part of this pay-per-view at the end of this month. This isn't your first time being in the ring against wrestling's greatest tag team, but now you're going to have the Kings of Wrestling and the Briscoe Brothers in there at the same time in an elimination match. Does this favor you and Rhett, or can this hurt you guys in the long run?
I think this match absolutely favors us because it's a smart man's match. You really got to kind of look and see, you know, what the dynamics are and who's got what motivation to beat who. We obviously want to kill the Briscoes. That's no secret. But it's got to come down to being disciplined and follow the game plan and, you know, not letting your emotions get the best of you because everybody has some sort of issue with each other in this match, one way, shape, or form. This is going to be maybe the best match you see all year, and I'm calling it right now. So the four tag teams involved are... You could put any two of them together, and you could put probably match of the year, pull match of the year out of it. All four of us together, and it's all for the belts. You do not want to miss this one. And
Do you like the transition to the iPay-per-view event as opposed to being all DVD and every so often doing an HDNet taping?
Well, I think that it definitely adds a dynamic to it because it's fresh and it's live. Back when we used to tape our pay-per-views, it was kind of hard to get, you know, people to get that big show live feeling because, you know, it's 2-3, maybe months down the line. But it's going on as it's happening and people are watching as it's happening. So that's what I think one of the things that made when Eddie Edwards became champion, the moment was so special because it literally shocked everybody that watched it. I think he trended worldwide on Twitter because it was that special feeling of, boom, this is happening right now. So the iPay-per-view, I definitely think, is a good way for us to get people. And for $15, the level of pay-per-views we've been putting on for $15, I think that's why we're doing better numbers every single time because one person brings one person and they see that this is what they can watch and this is how they can get to it. It's word of mouth. And it's obviously the model's been working because it's been very successful for us.
Oh, we hope it's a big success. We're going to probably have a couple more folks on between now and the big event. Once again, it is called Best in the World 2011. It is June 26th at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is the big Manhattan Center at 311 West 34th Street, 4 o'clock bell time. You can go to gfl.tv or gofightlive.tv, rohstore.com. And before you go, I have to give you a little bit of crap. because the last time you were here, you told me I'm not allowed to have Twitter. And unfortunately, the bosses here at Online World of Wrestling Radio maneuvered me inside. I was like, all right, fine, I'm getting the Twitter, which is my name is Wojcik. And all of a sudden, Sorokin, our tech producer, comes to me today and he puts this tweet out. And all of a sudden, I see this very interesting tweet name, and it's yours. What the heck happened? What made you sell out?
Well, and anybody that knows me knows that I have certain feelings about Twitter. But you put it like this, man, we're about to be the best in the world, and everybody's got to know about it. So you got to cave in at some point. So this is the beginning.
Yeah, what's given the name?
We're about to
be
the best in the world, literally.
Yeah, go ahead and give them the name that you chose for your Twitter account.
Oh, it's Kenny Kingpin. It's at Kenny Kingpin ANX. I'm still really green at Twitter. I don't know what I'm doing. Right. So if anybody wants to, follow me and shoot me some tips on how to make my Twitter more interesting, what types of things you guys like to see, because I'm really use it as the social medium to get to know Kenny King, and as my ascension into superstardom continues.
Excellent.
You were like my fifth Twitter father, I think, follower, Adam.
Yeah.
I think you were right. You can say you remember when.
Yep, we were on the ground floor before Kenny King launched into the stratosphere.
Yeah. Right, everybody's been giving me crap for a while.
Oh, I'm sure of it. All right, stay with us for a minute. Coming up after the break, we will get into why we like or dislike that Annie Levine is the winner of Tough Enough 5 here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I wouldn't want to have it any other way. I'm addicted and I just can't get enough.
I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. I just can't get enough.
Honey got a sexy on steaming. She give my hotness a new meaning. Perfection, mommy, you gleaming. Inception, you got above a dreaming. Damn, baby, I'm fiending. I'm trying to holler at you, I'm screaming. Let me love you down this evening.
Love it, love it, yeah, you know you are my demon.
Girl.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling journalists today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work, for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
This is AJ Kirsch from WWE Tough Enough, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Dance.
Thanks to Kenny King for stopping by tonight here on All Out Wrestling Radio. We are sponsored by Click Wrestle, which is the official on-demand site of All Out Wrestling. We're also sponsored by iTunes, which is also our official downloader. You can go to the store. The big kahuna, Brad Dykens, has been trying his best to get stuff loaded. I may end up taking it over, which would be real interesting since I'm not an iTunes person. We're also sponsored by the All In World of Wrestling Genesis Forum, and Shockage wanted me to let everybody know that OWW Tournaments area is presenting the latest addition to the OWW Tourney Series is the OWW Greatest Pro Wrestlers of All Time. 32 participants were taken from the top 50 superstars of all time list, and a virtual tournament table has been created to keep track of it. They already did their first round, and each round will last 5 days for members to cast their votes and discuss each dream match. Here's the current dream matches that you can vote on until June 11th. Triple H is taking on Ric Flair, Randy Savage against Bob Backlund, Eddie Guerrero versus Bret Hart, Ricky Steamboat versus Harley Race, Hulk Hogan versus Terry Funk. Kurt Hennig is taking on Kurt Angle.
Question.
Hold on, let me get the last two matches out. Andre the Giant takes on Lou Fez, and Bruno Sammartino takes on Sting. Voting closes June 11th.
How is Flair versus Triple H a dream match when it's happened?
Don't ask me, dude. This is what
multiple times
I was sent. It's what I was sent. I just read it. And the reason the music's so crazy is because I just did Pop Music Night, New Music Night, and that's why, and Kesha just happened to pop in there. So no. Music privileges haven't been taken, so deal with it.
Yes, your music privileges for a week have been revoked. Revoked. Kesha. That's all I have to say is effing Kesha.
Yeah.
The Ramones can't get their own night, but Kesha? We've
played Kesha.
The Ramones
have a night. The Ramones have a night coming. I just need the perfect guest to have with the Ramones.
Oh no. I've been on this program for a year now. Over a year now. And not once have we featured the Ramones, probably the most influential punk band of all time.
Yeah, they will be coming, trust me. It took me forever to get a Billy Joel night on here, and Billy's influential as well. So
Kesha.
You have vented your frustration. Now let me vent mine.
It's rigged. It's a sham.
Well, that's when people are saying that I talked to the last 24 hours after they watched WWE Tough Enough last night. where we saw Luke and Andy go to the FCW training facility, spend a week getting trained by WWE legend and Hall of Famer Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who looks really well considering he had a stroke last year after the incident with the Nexus, which was not related to that, but that was kind of used as storyline. We had, funny enough, we had talked to Jeremiah on Sunday on Wrestle Talk Radio, and he said, yeah, I'm in Richmond. There he was. Everybody was there except for, Miss USA, Rimka Faki, who I believe was doing a, how to do Miss USA duties. I'm not even sure what Miss USA does other than goes, hi, I'm Miss USA.
A lot of charity work.
Most likely, and that's good for her, because she's got a great speaking personality, just didn't translate to the ring. We had a stunner, and I don't mean the actual Stone Cold stunner. We had the WWE chairman, Vince McMahon, come to the ring, going retro with the powder blue suit, very, very late 70s, the early 80s there for Vince. He actually asked them why they should be WWE superstars, if they had any social redeeming qualities, and he tried to take over, but in the end, Stone Cold Steve Austin chose Andy Levine to be the Tough Enough champion, who was promptly slapped by Vince McMahon, and then hit with a Stone Cold Stunner that he no-sold like crazy. So I'll vent my frustration in a minute, but I'll go to Mace first. You had said Sunday night, and I know Spug said it Sunday night, that you guys felt Jeremiah should have been there last night instead of either Luke or Andy. Are you fine with Andy winning this thing, or is it a rig, it's a sham, it's whatever you want to call it?
It's a goddamn MF and cluster friggin'. You know what?
Somebody call Al Sharpton.
Somebody call my lawyer. Somebody got screwed. If you had asked me this last night, I would have ranted and raved and thrown a hissy fit and all that other crap, but I've got other things to do that about now. But, yeah, it's really not. This whole thing, like, right near the end, it's like, okay, we're giving the guy who used to be in FCW a WWE contract to go to developmental. Wait, huh? Yeah, for people who didn't know, Andy was already under contract.
Yep, he was under contract. He was in early 2010. That was one of my major piss-off points, and I held on to it, and I held on to it, and I'm like, I'm going to save this till this guy, if this guy wins, and I'm going to let loose. And that, yes, in early 2010, Andy Levine was signed, or Levine, or however you want to pronounce it, was signed to a developmental deal with World Wrestling Entertainment, and was signed. He wrestled under the name of Kevin Hackman. He only took part in a couple of matches before he was released in February of 2011, just in time for him to be a part of Tough Enough. So like Christina Crawford, the sister of current WWE diva Alicia Fox, as you just said, and I'll throw it to Spug in a second here, you basically had this guy under a deal, released him just to give him another deal, Spug. I don't get this.
I didn't watch the ending. I lost all interest in Tough Enough a few weeks ago when Matt Cross went home, and even with what he said, there was another individual there that should have gone home.
Why Andy and Luke should have been long gone from this competition.
I don't know if Luke should have been. I don't know if Luke should have been, but Andy definitely should have been. Andy is very unassuming. He's very vanilla and very bland. The only reason he won is because he's big.
Yeah, I said that during our weekly Raw chat. Oh, look, the generic, bland, big, dopey green guy won. And the fact that Andy had been in the bottom three how many times in this season? Practically every week?
Twice, I think he got there. Oh, and actually three if you count the actual last setup. And as you guys pointed out with Jeremiah, which definitely go to wildtalkradio.com and download that interview. He spoke for an hour and was amazing with his, some of his answers blew me totally away. And I've been doing this for 10 years doing interviews. I was like, wow, that's really honest. We agreed when we talked with him that if Martin doesn't get hurt and have the fracture in his foot, it's Martin and Jeremiah standing there last night in the ring instead of Luke and Andy. Do either one of us feel differently about that now?
No, not one bit. Not one bit. Because I think they said they sent Jeremiah home for his lack of, you know, experience.
Yeah, too green is what Stone Cold Steve Austin said.
Yet, the guy who won was under developmental deal and fired. He was let go out of his deal, which to me says that he didn't have enough experience and was doing poorly down in FCW. So what's the difference between having him and Jeremiah there?
I'm not sure. Jersey Girl points out, she said, I realized last night Martin looks like the Blue Meanie with the facial hair he had on. I have to go back and look. He was definitely noticeable in that green shirt. I was kind of going, did Mama Cornette dress you, dude? Holy cow.
Well, it's like a lot of people in the chat room I was in were saying that Luke looked like The Miz.
Yeah, you're right. He did, and he had that cocky ass smile on him last night, and maybe could have been a new protege, the way John Morrison, formerly Johnny Nitro, was to Eric Bischoff, because a lot of people don't remember that. They go, "Yeah, he was Morrison." No, he wasn't. Genius. He was Johnny Nitro. He was Bischoff's lackey for a while. No, it wasn't him. Go, would you like to see some footage? Roll that beautiful footage. So I'm indifferent because there's nothing we can do about it, but if I had a vote, I was very surprised that they pulled the three other trainers, and each one of them actually picked Andy. And did that surprise you, that the three of them actually all were in agreement with Andy before Austin ever picked anybody?
Well, to be honest, it doesn't surprise me because at that point I'm quite sure that they were all told, guess what, you're going to be putting your support behind Andy. I'm quite sure if it had come down, especially in terms of Booker T and Big Bill DeMont, they wouldn't have chosen Andy to go into that final three. I wonder how much influence the trainers actually had in the decisions. Because by the way this ended, especially in the last half of the season, I'm looking at that going, yeah, they're being told what they need to say. This has gone from being a pseudo-reality show to being 100% scripted.
As opposed to the previous seasons where it was Al Snow that it seemed that Al had the power in all three seasons. I mean, you had injuries in the previous three seasons, and we addressed that when we had Ivelisse go out with an injury, Martin went out with an injury, and then you look back at season one, Kevin Matthews had back problems, Taylor Matheny had issues, you go and look at season two, Jackie Gata, now known as Jackie Gata Haas, had knee issues as well. So, I mean, I'm gonna stick to my guns on one issue that I've brought up the last few weeks, is how many of these kids aren't already under a deal? Because I mean, okay. Well, if you can remember some of them, if you were creative, if you're Johnny Laryngitis, sorry, Road Warrior Animal, I gotta make fun of your brother for a minute there, so don't hurt me. If you had his power, is there anyone that you would sign off of that? I mean, we talked with Ryan Howe on here. You guys have talked to AJ Kirsch and you had Jeremiah last night. Judging from the mood after the interview, would you have signed Jeremiah and immediately said, congrats, you're signed, I get to FCW and learn how to wrestle?
Yeah, I would have said that, and I would have said the same thing to Martin and Matt. Congratulations, here's your FCW contract, report to Florida tomorrow.
Do you keep any of the ladies? Do you keep Eva Lee?
Hell no!
So even though she's Miss USA, you don't bring her in as a spokesperson or ambassador or whatever you want to call her?
Nope. No, only because, well, okay, if I was in Johnny's shoes, I'd probably look at bringing in Rima just to be some sort of spokesperson, yes. Mm-hmm. Me, as if I was offering the contracts, I wouldn't offer any of the girls' contracts because, you know, I like female wrestling. Underline the word wrestling 18 times there, people.
And your favorite match isn't Alicia Fox versus Melina?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, I want to ask this of you and Spug and Sir Rockin' and even our chat room listeners. If you are WWE, and the ratings for this weren't horrible, but the ratings weren't spectacular either, do you do this again, or was this a one-time thing in your mind, Mace?
I probably wouldn't bring it back straight away, give it time to sink in. Instead of going, here's season one, here's season two, season three, season four, season five, blah, 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 blah. Here's season one, take 6 months off, or even 3 months or something, put a break in there. Sort of like what, shows like South Park do, you know, they show half a season, then they take time off and they show the rest and people are interested. So you take the time off in the middle to build interest for your next show. That's why people got so sick of NXT, is because it was season after season after season after season that produced zero results. Let's be honest, it hasn't produced any real results. Same thing's gonna happen with Tough Enough. We're gonna see Andy pop up maybe once somewhere down the line, maybe in a Royal Rumble, that's it.
So he'll be like Maven, where Maven eliminated The Undertaker, and then Maven, unfortunately, he suffered the same thing that a lot of performers do in the business. He got hurt. He broke his leg, and that's what ended up putting him on the shelf.
Yeah, but they, in order to keep your interest going, they need to create a build for it. Create a desire to see this. So if they're going for a second season, do it in 3 months' time. Don't start doing it this week.
Would you wait almost 6 months to a year and make it like how you have summer TV series like White Collar, which they were promoting the Living Daylights out of on Monday Night Raw, where you have a summer series, let it be every April you do this again?
Yeah,
and let
probably.
It build from there. Do it after do it as something after Mania or around Mania.
Or if you want to do something different, like Jersey Girls pointed out, turn into an internet show. That I could agree with. Maybe do alternatives. You know, you do season of NXT, season of Tough Enough, season of NXT, season of Tough Enough. That way you've got a constant cycle going, but there's something different every few months. Instead of like hammering people down with the same show over and over and over again.
Sir Rockin can type his answer in if he wants, unless he's got his headphones there. Do you agree with what Mace is saying, or do you think this was a one and done, I don't want to see this ever again on my TV? Rock is saying it's coming back in the fall. Is that so it's the definite USA Network's going to bring this thing back? Oh, that's your opinion. Okay. Well, yeah, why not? Because you lose, as I said, you lose White Collar, you lose Covert Affairs, and you've got another show, a couple other shows, and Royal Pains and Burn Notice. So you've got that 8 o'clock slot
Yay,
sitting there.
Yay, Burn Notice.
Yeah. Were you fine with the way it was, that it was a lead-in to Monday Night Raw, and then the previous week was rerun after Raw, or would you have done it completely on a different night now? Keep it away from Monday Night Raw or SmackDown?
Who are you asking?
To anyone, whichever one of you want. You're letting your ice cream melt, so we'll let your ice cream melt.
No, it's not ice cream.
Okay.
It's ice cream cake.
Ooh, even better.
Yes.
I hate your Don't face.
All right, well, I'll ask Spug this question. Would you bring back Tough Enough for another year? And if so, would you keep it in the 8 o'clock Monday night slot as a lead-in to Raw, or would you put it somewhere else? Because it was doing numbers better than all 2 hours of TNA wrestling.
I'd do it once a year. I'd start it after Mania in April and run it to the beginning of June, and then that's what I wouldn't do it, you know. I wouldn't do it, you know, maybe, you know, what are two seasons? What is it, two seasons a year? I wouldn't do it like that. I would do it once a year.
Okay, well, now that you're back, I'll ask the same question I asked Mace. If you're Johnny Ace and WWE Developmental, other than the obvious that Andy will most likely be coming to FCW for polishing or whatnot and character development, of the people that were eliminated, are you in agreement you would sign Jeremiah immediately to a contract?
You're asking me or Rock? I would sign Jeremiah, yes.
Okay, any of the other people that were in there, would you sign Martin or Matt Cross or anyone else? You would sign Luke.
Luke, because I think Luke can be worked with. The same with Matt Cross and definitely Martin. I'd have told Michael with a K to go fuck himself.
Well, apparently I haven't told a lot of people who told him that at shows. I know he was here in Tampa for an event and was not received too well, but he never said that his favorite match was Alicia Fox versus Melina.
You know what? Stupidity can be fixed to a point. All right. That girl obviously had no idea about the rich and layered history of wrestling.
So you think she was just a reality TV junkie? Okay, I couldn't get on Bachelor. Let me go and do the WWE one. If I can't get on there, I'm going to go to
Rock
of Love or whatever's out there.
She was an idiot. And, you know, you can kind of hear that for time to time. In that dude's case, however, he was a douche. You can't fix douchiness.
We're gonna take a break at the moment, and we'll fix our douchiness that we've been having because of Spug's choice of my not favorite music. Hey, I'm not a big fan of Kesha, but I knew the song was a brand new pop song, so deal with it. Coming up after the break, we will get
into.
Okay, I know my privileges are gonna be revoked, please. I know I lose a man card for picking Kesha. Yeah, I know. I got Britney on the list, too. We've got Gaga on the list.
That's even worse! That's even worse!
How can you... Right,
she's
so.
A man!
1 month lost of privileges.
Coming up after the break...
We're going to be listening to Australian folk music because of this crap. Thanks, Wojcik.
Coming up after the break, we will get into everything revolving TNA wrestling as this Sunday is Slammiversary number 9. And it's scary to think that it's 9 years later and I don't even recognize the damn product. Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back on the other side of the break.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
WWE
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Old as new again. That is actually Duran Duran from their brand new album All You Need Is Now, which is available online and at iTunes. Alan Wojcik here with Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network each and every Tuesday night. As I said, baseball doesn't stop me. Podcast issues don't stop me. I'm here every week. You can't stop me. Many people would like to stop this Sunday from happening. I know Spug and Mace Omega on Wrestle Talk Radio wish Sunday wasn't coming because they have to watch Slammiversary 9. Now, we're
we don't have to.
Okay.
Because I can guarantee you this Spug guy, unless he absolutely truly has to be there, is not going to be on Sunday.
So I have no choice. I must show up on Sunday. Okay.
Yeah. If Rock says the Canadian's not going to be there, you have to be there. Then unfortunately, I will show up. Otherwise, I will find something else to occupy my time.
Yeah. Someone that won't be there besides Mick Foley. The rumors going around the campfire is that Foley has exited stage right. Apparently Tommy Dreamer is following him out the door. Dreamer announced his departure via the social media site Twitter, urging fans to go see the two live events in Marion, Illinois and Memphis, Tennessee on June 10th and 11th, respectively, to say goodbye. Quote, they will be my last appearances for TNA. Dreamer did join in June of last year and was put in charge of the very popular Hardcore Justice The Last Stand pay-per-view, which was dubbed by many as a final farewell to the ECW and had the EV 2.0 folks involved there. Disappointment, because many of us thought that he could step in and help Russo and TNA correct the ship, because he's got an amazing mind for the business. So, definite a letdown that you lost Foley and you lost two great veterans there?
Tommy, Mick, there's this company. They're out of New York. They just signed this really good deal with a company called Sinclair Media Group. I hear they're looking for people. You should go there quickly. You'll outdraw TNA in the first 3 weeks. I guarantee it.
Are you wanting them to replace Delirious and Creative, or just have them be there?
Have them be there. I mean, three minds are better than one. And we all... Delirious is no slouch, you know, as a booker. He's not.
But how can you be? You got Jim Cornette sitting right next to you going, well, what do you think?
Think about this. You have Delirious, Cornette, Foley, and Dreamer.
And Dave Lagana.
And Dave Lagana.
Love Dave Lagana.
You have five individuals who are probably some of the smartest minds in wrestling. What more do you need?
Yeah. We will talk TNA's actual TV event, and I'll run the pay-per-view down for everybody. But thanks to TNA, they actually had some news and notes come out, so this is going to be fun. TNA Wrestling, before we get to the fun that Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan, Kurt Angle, and China gave us, this is for all of the fantasy folks out there. And no, I don't mean the folks that play Final Fantasy or Dungeons & Dragons. And there's nothing wrong with those folks if they're listening. Hey, you're really cool.
I play Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not mocking it at all, but I mentioned it because this TNA Wrestling is actually launching a Impact Wrestling fantasy game with a free trial period to kick off at Slammiversary. You need to go to ImpactWrestlingFantasy.com. This came from Al Oveda, who is the chief marketing officer for TNA. Yeah. Quote, our fans can now visit to compete against one another the same way that tens of millions of Americans play fantasy football, baseball, basketball, golf, and other sports each year. Fans can create a fantasy roster to compete in the main public league free of charge or upgrade to the premium commissioner package for $2 a month, which allows the user to create and customize an unlimited amount of their private leagues to compete against friends, family, hold online drafts, and leagues. Game includes customizable scoring, live trash talk, trade feature, real-time scoring functionality. The CEO of Fantasy Brand Marketing LLC, which is a fantasy partner, Paul Hickey, said, this isn't your average fantasy sports and entertainment game. Word to Impact Wrestling fans and fantasy sports players alike. It's not what you think. Wait until you see what we're awarding points for and how we're awarding them. So, I mean, I'm not a fantasy person. I don't do fantasy football or hockey. I'd rather slap my rollerblades on and get out there and play. Are either one of you interested in this thing, or thanks for stopping TNA? Here's your Rice-A-Roni on the way out.
Didn't WWE do a fantasy wrestling thing years ago?
Yeah, Jersey Girl just said that, too. So TNA is what doing WWE did years ago.
We saw how well that did, right?
Yeah, because where is it?
Right. And so TNA is going to do fantasy wrestling for a company that less than 2 million people a week watch. Right. Good luck.
Well, let me ask this, since both of you are World of Warcraft players. How many people, if you could guesstimate it, worldwide or just in America, play World of Warcraft? How big an audience?
13 million.
That's worldwide or just in the U.S.?
Wrong, 11.4 mil. According to the last press release, it's 11.4 mil.
They said it was close to 13 at Cataclysm.
Then Cataclysm came out and they lost a shit ton of subscribers.
Well, whatever. It still doesn't matter. I mean, you still have over 11 million people who play this game.
All right, and you've got hundreds of millions of wrestling fans around the world, but how do you get people interested in this thing if you're TNA? I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of advertising on the actual Impact Wrestling program, but is the average wrestling fan going to buy into this thing at all?
Alan, you don't! You don't! Here's what people failed to get. TNA fans and supporters, and I'm sorry, I know you've been there since day one, but this is what people fail to understand. Your company is dying. I guarantee you, within the next 9 to 12 months, TNA Wrestling will no longer be in existence. It will not be around. Bischoff and Hogan will be out of work again. And Jeff Jarrett will have to borrow his daddy's money to go start another company so he can get himself over again. So they can put a fantasy website up all they want. They can do this. They can rename their television show. It doesn't matter. Because in the end, it's not going to do shit for him. I saw a stat on Eric Bischoff's Facebook page last night.
Oh, we'll address that in a minute.
Well, I was so pissed because I misread the text when I asked Rock for the time of the interview when he was going to be on. I thought he said 8:30, and it was actually 8, so I missed calling into Bischoff.
Okay, but now does this have to do with his Twitter thing he put out about the 90%, the 10%, or is this something different?
Something different.
Let me put this up real quick. He actually tweeted this, said something to the effect that seems like 90% of the audience loves what the loudest 10% hates. So which really matters? Who really matters? The 10%ers can't get over the fact that they are irrelevant. Ratings don't lie. Research doesn't lie. IWC smarks need to get over it. Now, tell the fans what you found on his Facebook, and then we'll discuss.
There was this stat on his Facebook last night. You know, I have to go look, because you interrupted my train of thought, and I lost it.
I apologize. Well, while you go find it, to Mace, while he go finds it, we're the 10%ers, I'm guessing, and we're pretty damn loud, because I know the show's heard in certain parts of the world, like Stanford, and I know some folks in Nashville are listening. Well, let me ask Mace this question real quick, and then you read
your
thing.
You jogged my memory. You jogged my memory.
Okay.
You said world, and it jogged my memory. Thank you. There was a stat on Bischoff's Facebook page talking about how in Europe, parts of Asia, and then somewhere else, that TNA was Australia, I think, was outdrawing WWE. That's fine. That's fine. Go ahead. Because you know what? You're not making nearly as much money in those areas as you are in your own backyard. When WWE's reality television show is outdrawing your 2-hour program. Okay? And on average, when your 2-hour program, 120 minutes is 90 minutes of dialogue and 30 minutes of wrestling, there is a problem, especially when your new slogan is TNA, wrestling matters, because obviously it doesn't.
Okay, because I'll go to Mace in a second. Sir Rockin pulled it up. What the 10%ers and dirt sheets and sites that feed them don't want to report. Per Spike TV, Impact Wrestling was the number one cable show in its time period among men 18 to 45. Despite under-delivering its STD on average among key demos, and TNA increased it from its jail repeat lead-in by a plus 129% in the male 18 to 49, which is a 0.78, with an additional plus 6 gain in the following quarter hour. TNA peaked at the 10-15 quarter with a 0.99. That's really neat because, as we mentioned, Tough Enough, a one-hour reality show, was outdrawing your two-hour wrestling show. And I would have loved Mace to have called in when he says something like that, because Mace, clue the fans in on TNA wrestling in Australia if they've never listened to us before.
Let's see. Where to begin? The fact that it hasn't been on TV for about 3 months. Complete channel changes. We haven't even got Impact back yet. We're actually getting it back this Saturday night, which won't matter to me because I'll be out getting drunk. Woo! But, also, when they do their world tours, in quotation marks there, people, they always leave out Australia, and the amount of times that I have called Eric Bischoff out on this, the amount of times I have tried getting a hold of TNA to give us a reason, they don't seem to want to answer me. So for one of their key demographics, they seem to love to ignore our country.
And now they're not ignoring England, because Kurt Angle will transition to Kurt Angle because he's been a topic recently, and he's in Slammiversary.
Before you roll on to that, Alan, I'm sorry to cut you off there, mate.
No problem.
I just want to elaborate on a few little bits while I was out grabbing my lunch that I've... Foley and Dream are jumping ship. Good for them. They're seeing the sinking ship. Run, bitches, run. Second, that Impact Wrestling League fantasy thing. You want to know how they can get people interested with that? A date with Velvet Sky in their bedroom. That's the only way you're going to get people interested in that damn thing. Hell, I had to contact them to say, why are you ignoring the international market? Lo and behold, a few days later, they update the site to include the international market.
Oh, it's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so... It just seems no matter what TNA do, and I said this on Sunday night, they have a stigma attached to the company that nobody wants to watch it, nobody wants to even bother with it. Why should we look at it? You know, and the only way they're going to do it is to shut the company down completely. I hate to agree with this bug, but we do agree from time to time, you know, that company is going to fold. And it's going to be sooner than people think.
Like I said, in 9 months to a year, that company will be gone.
Let me jump in with the Kurt Angle news. As I said, there's some other stuff. The Immortal One chimed in, Mr. Hogan, which was addressed on many, many a blog and a podcast and everything else. Kurt Angle chimed in.
Hogan snubbed Yoda.
Yeah. Jeremy Borash was overseas promoting the London tour, which I believe is in January. I don't know why we're promoting then, but hey. Kurt Angle sat with bembermedia.co.uk, and here's some interesting highlights. He, on the Olympics, he said, quote, after the 96 Olympics, I wanted to take a break. Then I got caught up in pro wrestling. I was going to try out in 04, but I had my neck injury. Before 08, I went, through a divorce and was at a really difficult time in my life. I'm a very competitive person. The UFC is telling me I need 3 to 6 months to get ready. They wanted me ready in 4.5 weeks, and I want to do it on my own terms. A lot were saying, Kurt said, he was going to fight, but he did, and backed out 6 different times, and he's going to go back to the Olympics. No, I'm not, because this is under my terms. He actually mentions, and according to his new TNA wrestling deal, quote, I'm going to start being a part-time star. I am at a point in my career where TNA can't afford me to be traveling around and getting injured at house shows when they need me on television. If I want to perform the way I do and steal the show every time, I have to wrestle at 100%, and we are both in agreement on that. when he was asked to address TNA's younger stars, he said, when you're on your way out, you want to make the younger guys more popular. You want to put these guys over, and that's where I'm at in my career. Look at guys like James Storm, Robert Roode, Crimson, Amazing Red, Kazarian, Mr. Anderson, and the Pope. We're starting to get the Brits where they need to be. Desmond Wolfe, Magnus, or Douglas Williams, one of those three are going to end up being world champion. They're great technicians, they're great in the ring, and they've got a lot of charisma. Those are the kind of guys I want to help. To that point, do you buy a single thing that the Olympic gold medalist is shoveling here, Mace? In regards to this younger talent thing, because where's Desmond Wolfe? Oh yeah, he's a commissioner. On Explosion.
I don't buy anything that Kurt Angle's been saying. I haven't been buying it for a long time, to be honest. Especially after the whole Twitter fiasco where he goes, I'm angry at Randy Orton for stealing my moves. Wait, no, that was a family member. Yeah, whatever, you lying prick.
Yeah, my little kid got to the Twitter thing. To Spug on the same plane, he says here that he's going to become a part-time wrestler. He's going to kind of avoid the house show route and just do the TV and do pay-per-view. This guy, back-to-back lockdowns, has done moonsault off the top of the cage. Is there a point in his mindset? And I'm not saying that he needs to slow down or half-ass it or whatever phrase you want to use here. Because pound for pound, he's one of the best legit wrestlers you'll ever see in the world. But is he right that he needs to avoid these house shows and just do Impact and the pay-per-views?
No, he's wrong. Even John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Edge, The Undertaker when healthy, Triple H, Ric Flair, and the list goes on and on and on while they were in WWF, top drawing names did house shows. You know why? Because you have to garner interest for your television and your pay-per-views. You can't just book Kurt Angle against Samoa Joe or Kurt Angle versus Crimson or Kurt Angle versus whoever and expect that it'll draw because you're Kurt Angle. There is only one or two people, three people actually, right now, who can do that, and they will sell out a house because of the name.
Hmm. And unfortunately,
The Rock, Hogan, and Flair.
Pretty much. And the funny part is people are going, you haven't really talked about Impact Wrestling here. It's hard to talk about it because, unfortunately, the show really wasn't that great. You did have a setup of some of the pay-per-view stuff. You had Crimson defeat Matt Hardy, only to have Samoa Joe get involved. You had Angelina Love defeat Ms. Tessmacher. You had the return of the Great Muta. Not exactly. You had the Great Muta, Showtime Eric Young, in an upset, defeating Mr. Anderson, who was dressed as Sting. Gunner got involved, and the real Sting helped stave Eric Young. Brian Kendrick and Kazarian went to a time limit in a number one contender match to set up an opponent for Abyss. They're granted more time, so of course, you have Abyss come out and kill both of them.
Did the spit?
Yeah, he did the green mist.
Yes.
Eric Young did the green mist. It was awesome. He had
the
Muta walk and everything.
Do that.
Ancient Chinese secret, a Japanese secret. You'll never get it out of them. We had, amazed this was your main event. Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner defeated Matt Morgan and Kurt Angle. And, of course, we had Karen Jarrett once again get injured, this time apparently falling down a set of stairs in the backstage area. And the show was ended by Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff publicly firing Mick Foley. Before we get to Joni Lauer and her wonderful career move, this is the pay-per-view as it stands for this Sunday, barring announcements on this Thursday's Impact. You will have Sting taking on Sting. I mean, Mr. Anderson, if he actually comes dressed as Mr. Anderson. If he's Sting versus Sting, God, that's going to be really weird. For the 1996 Olympic gold medals and number one contendership, Jeff Jarrett will take on Kurt Angle. Your knockout champion, Mickie James, will defend against former champion and now current drugged out girl on TV, not in the real world, Angelina Love. A new partnership will take place, as we noted on Impact Wrestling. Alex Shelley noted Chris Sabin is out and injured until at least 2012 with ACL, MCL, PCL, and anything else you can rhyme with CL. So we wish Chris Sabin nothing but the best in getting back. So instead of stripping beer money, we're going to have James Storm and Alex Shelley defend the TNA World Tag Team titles against the British Invasion. Anybody smell swerve? Okay. We have the match that was supposed to be on last month's pay-per-view, which is Matt Morgan taking on Scott Steiner. In a last man standing bout, AJ Styles will take on Bully Ray. Crimson will take on Samoa Joe, and Abyss most likely, I'm guessing, it's not been announced, but will possibly defend against either Brian Kendrick or Kazarian or maybe both, and God save the X Division fast, because this killing of the thing that put you on the map in 2002 is lame. We did this with Kevin Nash a few years ago, where he was going to kill the X Division. We had Billy Gunn try to kill it in an interview. Stop killing the thing that made your company great. And yes, I know Mace will be there, Spug, maybe, maybe not, depending on if he...
I think I'm busy.
You think you're busy, too? Oh,
I think
great.
I gotta be busy.
You think you're going to have a cold?
I'm busy, dude.
Did you pull your medial lateral collateral trilateral ligament?
No, actually, I have this really large crack in my ass that I think I'm going to go get stitched up.
You're going to be with Jamal in Stony Brook dealing with the Gauls. You'll be sitting next to Jamal telling him, see, dude, this is way better than watching the pay-per-view. Push!
Oh, no, I've already had the gallstones. I've already... What Jamal's going through, I went through last July.
Ouch. And speaking of...
Let me put it this way. I think I'd rather put myself through the torture of Final Fantasy XIII than watch TNA pay-per-views.
Would you rather put yourself through the torture of watching Joni Lauer's new XXX adult film?
Sure, it'd be less rapeful on my eyeballs.
Because thanks to this new production, which I believe is called Back Door to China, I think is the name
of
this
thing. You are correct, sir.
This actually is the main reason why you are not going to see Joni Lauer in TNA wrestling ever again. She reported to TMZ that she had actually been in talks with the wrestling organization about a long-term deal before the XXX film came into the picture and things were looking optimistic. But with the hardcore taping set to debut soon, China tells us she got a call from the TNA honchos warning her that if she let the tape hit the shelves, the deal is off. Joni Lauer said, the whole thing has been a constant drama. It's all good in the end. TNA Wrestling is missing the boat. She also adds, freedom! Shock of shocks, no word from TNA Wrestling. How stupid is this woman to walk away from possibly... I don't know what you get paid for an adult film. If Cindy Sin were here, she probably could tell us from some of the great interviews that she's done on Anything Goes with some folks in the adult entertainment world. But how much do you think she got for this backstreet to China thing? Half a mil?
She got a good chunk of change.
For her to want to make more.
But I mean, what do you think, if you're TNA? I mean, at one point they were paying Sting half a mil. She gets.
I don't think you understand. I don't think you understand how much money can be made in fetish porn. And obviously, hermaphrodites are fetish porn.
I'm not going there. Apparently, another radio program that I've never listened to has Miss Lauer as a guest coming up on a Monday night show. Why I would talk to her, I have no idea because I have no interest in that stuff. We will have a female guest on the other side of the break. If you're a fan of Women's Superstars Uncensored, what many call the icon of WSU, no, not the current champion, one of our favorites, Mercedes Martinez, Miss Alicia will be joining us to talk about Uncensored Rumble 4. I can tease in 2 weeks we will have Steve Carino's kick-ass sister, Allison Danger, will be here in 2 weeks because she's going to be taking on Cindy Rogers in a retirement match.
Is that legit his sister?
Yes.
Really?
Allison Danger is his real sister. We'll talk about it amongst ourselves on the other side of the break. the brand new version of Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode, because they have a remixes CD that's out in stores today from 81 to 2011. I'm in line to go buy it tomorrow. We'll talk to Alicia on the other side of the break here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. All I Will of Wrestling Radio. I'll be back.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's worth away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today,
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett
Derry.
Janice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
host for Grand Slam action.
He had to go to YouTube to find my song. That's awesome. That is actually Martin Selvig with Dragonette with Hello. If you ever go to YouTube, find that video. He actually plays tennis at the French Open against Bob Sinclair, who is another European DJ. That's actually a funny, funny video. Online World of Wrestle Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, and also our friends at Women Superstars Uncensored. They are going to be hosting their fourth annual Uncensored Rumble. If you have never seen this event, it is phenomenal to watch. It is Saturday, June 25th, so if you're going to Ring of Honor on Sunday, get some tickets and go to the Ace Arena, which is 725 Sip Street in Union City. In addition to the Uncensored Rumble match itself, which is basically a female version of Royal Rumble, to crown the number one contender to the world champion, Mercedes Martinez, who's going to take on Brittany Savage. You're also going to have a first-time ever match, Serena Deeb versus Nikki Rocks. You are going to get to see an uncensored rules match with two ladies who do not like each other one bit. If you don't believe me, you need to go to WSUWrestling.com to see some of the videos, and also DOIWrestling.com, of the talk between Jessica Havoc and our guest. Many call her the icon of WSU. We call her a friend. She is Alicia. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me here. I love you guys.
She's there. I know she's there. She just got done work. Alicia.
She was just talking.
Hi, I'm Hello. Here. Can you guys hear me? Hello.
I can hear, her just fine.
Ellen can't.
Ellen seems. I can hear her just fine.
I can hear you guys good. I hope everyone out there can hear me too.
All right, I'm going to jump straight in with the first question. Are you going to watch the TNA pay-per-view this Sunday, or are you going to be like the rest of us and be busy?
I'm going to be like the rest of you and be very, very busy that day. I'm not going to be able to catch it.
I like this girl already.
Yes. See. Now, I'm going to follow this up. Would you rather watch 48 straight hours of the Jersey Shore or one TNA pay-per-view?
I'd rather watch 2 weeks long of the Jersey Shore, to be really honest with you.
Do you ever resent Becky going down there and doing that gimmick with Rob Echoes? Do you think, hey, I could have done that?
You know something? I really like Becky as a person, and I know Rob because I trained with Rob. We went to the same wrestling school, and that gimmick he has, that's him. That whole Jersey Shore lifestyle, that's him, and I respect that. I understand it's where he's coming from. He gets it. But, you know, to me, when I look at Becky, I see her as, like, a New York kind of girl, and I couldn't be more Jersey. I'm Jersey 24/7 all day long, can't help it. So when I see her there, you know, I see where she's going with it, but it just doesn't feel natural to me. But that's because, you know, that's my life. So that's my friend. That's what happens here all day long. So for me, I don't resent her for it, but I just think I'm a better overall representation of New Jersey in general.
So it is fair to say that you do GTL.
I totally GTL.
The worst part of that damn show is none of them are from Jersey.
That's the thing that really bothers me. The majority of them are not from Jersey, and that hits home to me too, because it's not a fair representation, but it is a fair representation of what's down at the Jersey Shore. Have any of you guys ever been to Seaside Heights before the show?
I have.
You have? Would you be able to test what goes on?
I haven't. Other side of the world away.
Yeah, they're annoying. They drive me nuts because, but the funny part is when they did all this stuff, I have friends that live in Long Island, including Kevin Scott, who's one of our normal contributors, that he's like, yeah, JY was at a bar function and she was there raising money for a cancer thing. And I'm like, that's great. Why won't MTV put that on the show? Oh, because nobody cares about that stuff. They'd rather watch them get drunk and run into their police escort in Italy and stuff.
Exactly. Because people want to see the banter. People want to see the partying, the irresponsibility, what other people feel they can't do. And, they, you know, we want to see someone do that. I don't want to watch somebody do something, you know, good all the time. I want to watch somebody that's going to, you know, potentially possibly ruin their entire life on television, you know, just for TV.
Well, aren't you a concerned and wonderful citizen?
Okay, but let me ask. Yeah, let me bring this up here because you do work in when you're not beating the snot out of people for WSU. You do work in for a major retail chain and management in Jersey. I won't name who. When you watch that show and a lot of these other shows like The Real Housewives and all this, do you just sit there and go, ladies, you need my business card, you need to come into my shop, and I will make you look like $1 million?
I have to tell you that two of the ladies from the Real Housewives of New Jersey were in my store today, in my department. So I literally do talk to them during the day, and I do help them, and I help my associates accessorize some of them and dress them, and that's real life. That's really how they are in person. And it's funny you brought that up because I saw two of them today. I actually saw Dina and Caroline Manzo in my store. I don't know if you guys are very familiar with the show, but
I've seen
bits
and pieces.
They were both there.
I've seen bits and pieces traveling with the remote going, okay, can't find. Okay, what's these people doing? They're scary.
Now, I just
like,
have
why
one...
are these women throwing tables?
Yeah.
I just have one more Jersey Shore question for her.
Oh, Lord.
Because we all know how much of a cesspool Trenton is. I mean, if you live in the rest of America, you know that it's probably, you know, the leading nuclear waste site in all of the United States.
Home of the Trenton Thunder.
So is it fair to say that Snooki is probably a byproduct of that nuclear waste that came out of Trenton?
You have harsh words, my friend, for parts of Jersey. But, I mean,
Ohio.
It depends how you look at her. I know people that look at her as, like, a role model. They want to dance like her. They want to tan like her. But, you know, I can see where you're coming from with that, but I don't know.
If they want to be like Snooki, go to an AA meeting and see where your future is headed.
Yeah, did you see, Alicia, did you see her compete at WrestleMania when she was in the match with Trish
God.
And all that?
I did. I actually watched it. And I was just sitting there like, I know girls that would kill themselves to be in this match, and this like belligerent drunk is in there. It's tough to watch.
How long would she last in the ring with Amy Lee or Awesome Kong if she came to WSU back in the day when Amy and Awesome Kong were killing each other?
I don't even know if she would have made it both feet in the ring. That's how quick it would have been.
Feed her to Amber and Lexus of the Boston Shore, who are the new tag champs. Feed them to them. They'd murder her.
That'll be your quickest way right out of there. That'll be your way in the door and right out of the door. She wouldn't even make it in.
Yeah. Jillian Hall is going to be making her debut at this event, the former WWE diva. Thoughts on that? Do you think that's a plus that people like her and Serena, who have wrestled for WWE, and Jazz, who's been WWE, are drawn to your company? Is that it's got to be a plus.
I definitely think it's a plus, and that's for a number of different reasons. One, WSU is pumping out some of the best women's wrestling in the country, if not the best. So constantly having these other main event girls come in not only makes it exciting for everyone else in the locker room and their opponents, but also for the fans. And I think that's something really interesting that WSU does that not other companies do. It's that you'll always see a variety of opponents mixed with one another. You might see a girl that's wrestling for a short amount of time in there with someone that's been around for 10 years. Or you might see a girl that's only been on the indies forever wrestling, you know, someone who was a top WWE name. And I think that dimension, all the matches and not really limiting the girls is what makes WSU what it is, which is really exciting. And I mean, in my opinion, I find it very unpredictable.
Is it part of Jillian Hall's contract that she not sing the national anthem before the shows?
Or have that former mole on her face?
I think you guys are going to have to watch it to see how that pans out. I don't think I can give you any of those secret details.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Can you please, one of us won't actually be able to catch it because he doesn't live in the country?
Yeah, that would be our resident Australian who we would love to hook up with the show, but he doesn't get there. How do you feel? Are you getting noticed with this iPay-per-view concept? Because you're not the only company that's doing it now. It seems like everyone's doing it. Ring of Honor's there. Revolve and Dragon Gate are involved with the company, Sal Haomi's Full Impact Pro thing, and you guys have your thing too. Do you like the iPay-per-view concept, or do you think WSU possibly could eventually be a TV product and blow Wrestlelicious off the map? Because Frank, I can't believe I just put Wrestlelicious and you guys in the same breath. Because
shame on you.
I know, I'm surprised too. You just put those two together, but it's okay. I forgive you. I still love you.
Shame on you, Wojcik.
Well, again, remember Mercedes wrestled for them, and when we talked to her, she said she took it for what it was. It was character building for her to play a totally different person than Mercedes Martinez. So, but back to my main question: do you think this is an evolution for you guys, that iPay-per-view could be a step to maybe a weekly television spot somewhere, maybe in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and spread from there?
Well, I definitely think, one, iPay-per-view for WSU is especially important because most of our shows are based out of New York and New Jersey. So there's fans throughout the country that really aren't going to get the chance to see us. We're not at the point yet where we have all these shows expanding out, you know, to the Midwest and even to the South, and it's good for them to get that exposure. So beyond that, the more people that are seeing our product, I know for a fact that I personally have gotten more recognition with the iPay-per-view as being a part of WSU. And I think it can be measured well with me because these are the only shows that I do anymore. I am strictly with WSU. I don't do any other independent shows. And for me to see more people contacting me and tweeting me and emailing me and Facebooking me and really seeing a stronger following coming because of the iPay-per-view, to me that speaks volumes. And because of WSU's product, I definitely think that down the line, if we keep expanding and tightening up production and putting on the same matches that we are now and just building more and more in the future, it could definitely be something that I could see growing. And the other good part of that is we have Sean the Mick running this whole thing, and he's got a great head on his shoulders, and I think that he's ready to take over the world. So he's ready to keep putting this out there, and, you know, when the time comes, if it does, I think that the girls will be in good shape and the company to take it there.
So if Jack Sabbath or Danny D'Amato or Frank Goodman called you up and said, hey, Lee, should we want to use you, you're going to tell them, nope, sorry, I'm WSU loyal?
You're right. I'm going to continue doing that.
Especially because of the three names that I named. Love you, Danny, but you have a reputation, dude.
I mean, obviously, depending on the situation, we would take that case by case. But the list you just gave me, especially with Danny calling me, you know, I don't know if I would be an eager beaver jumping at that opportunity right there.
We've had her on here twice, and she'll possibly be on a third time. She was on a night where you followed after. Is there anyone besides, I mean, you've been in the ring with her. Who can stop Mercedes Martinez? Is there anyone? I mean, is Brittany Savage the one that's going to end the streak in your mind, or is it you win, you beat Jessica, you win the Rumble, you're the number one contender, and you're the one that can take her down?
I mean, based on my history with Brittany Savage, I'm going to go with, it's more likely that, well, first of all, it's not likely. I am going to kill Jessica Havoc because I don't even care. I'm tired of hearing about her. I'm tired of her running her mouth. I'm tired of this whole thing, like, to the point where I'm sick over it. So once I get her out of the way and then I take care of the Rumble match, I think that I'll be in force to be reckoned with again with Mercedes Martinez without anyone interrupting me, without anyone being in my way. But I think that it's more likely that I'm going to be able to stop Mercedes Martinez than Brittany Savage would be able to stop Mercedes Martinez. Because honestly, I don't think Brittany Savage can stop the hair color from getting in her eyes when she's dying it all these times. So I don't know how well she's going to do stepping in the ring with the top women's talent in the country right now.
Ooh, I like her.
Yeah, she's harsh. Yes, that's why Alicia is back, because she is one of those people that doesn't care what anybody thinks.
Can you do me a favor on Saturday when you're beating the hell out of Jessica Havoc?
Yes. Please tell me. I'll do it.
Put her in the Bulgarian booger hole.
And that'll be my shout out to you?
Oh, yeah. Just wrap her up in a headlock, reach two fingers down there and hook her by the nose and give her the old pig snout right in the middle of the ring.
All right, I'll do what I have to do. That'll be my shout out to you guys. Now you have to watch it because I'll do it in an uncensored way, too.
Nice!
Oh, hey now. Yeah, I need to ask a serious question here. On this event on the 25th, we're going to talk with her in 2 weeks. We're going to talk with her opponent in 2 weeks, Allison Danger. But win or lose, this is Cindy Rogers' last match due to a lot of injuries she's accumulated. Can you share any thoughts on this unfortunate thing? Because she is a very talented young lady in the ring, but unfortunately she's going to have to hang it up.
I mean, I spent a good portion of my earlier indie years teaming with Cindy throughout WXW and different promotions in New Jersey, and we were collectively called the Big Unit. And honestly, Cindy has really contributed so much to women's independent wrestling and just to women's wrestling as a whole that I cannot even tell you. And it really sucks for me because I don't want to see her go. I don't want to see her especially go out because of, you know, injuries and your body holding you back. And that's a tough position to be in because I'm sure her mind is still on it and ready to go, but it's other things outside of that that are going to stop her. And for me, Cindy's always been a friend, a fantastic opponent, and an even better partner. So it's going to be a sad day. Going into this event, you know, I have a lot of mixed feelings. I'm going to be losing one of, you know, my friends in the business who is my partner who isn't going to be in it anymore. But at the same time, I'm like so angry and aggravated about this match that you know, I'm going in with a head full of thoughts. So I don't know how that's going to turn out for the day for me. But, you know, for Cindy, I think it's going to be a respectful and really, you know, well done send off for her, which she truly deserves.
Yep. As I said, this event is the fourth Uncensored Rumble match. For fans that have never seen it, and where have you been, go to WSUWrestling.com and purchase any of the DVDs. Are you a part of the Uncensored Rumble itself, or is it just you and Jessica in the match and that's it?
Let me tell you, I don't know how many WSU events you watch me on, but I'm in everything. And I will be in this Rumble. And I really anticipate on coming off a strong match and being ready to take on the entire Rumble myself. But I will be in there. And I'm sure anyone listening to this that has seen a WSU Uncensored Rumble before knows what we have in store for them. But if you haven't seen it, you kind of have to imagine me on my nastiest day and, you know, pretty much all the girls being in that mood and just ready to claw each other's eyes out, ready to get a title shot. So
do you call up an ex-boyfriend and do you call up your worst ex-boyfriend and say to him, tell me again why I dumped your ass, and then he says stuff and you take that anger and go to the ring, or what motivates you to get in there?
Well, right now, my whole motivation is based, honestly, right now, it's on Jessica Havoc. Because I don't know if you follow me on Twitter or if you follow her or if you've listened to the non-stop bickering day in, day out, the complaining, the videos, just the back and forth. It's like disgusting. First of all, this girl, I don't know where she thinks she's coming from. You're coming from like the Midwest trying to stop over here in New Jersey thinking you're going to run shit because A, you're not. B, I'm going to stop you if you try to. So she's going nuts all the time. And she hasn't had, like, a fair match with me yet because she's too busy doing everything else and cheating and getting involved and interrupting and worrying about all these outside things to focus on just me and her in the ring. I'm glad it's an Uncensored Rules match because I'm going to kill her because it has gotten so annoying. She's, like, a thorn in my side. I just rip it out of my side and get rid of it. And I'm, like, really genuinely so aggravated with her because she's not an icon in WSU. You're not a staple in WSU. You're trying to prove yourself, but you're talking like you're the greatest wrestler that's ever walked the face of the earth, and you're not. And also, I gotta tell you, she's not as funny as I am. She can't keep up in a verbal argument with me, so I don't think she's gonna be able to keep up with me in a physical fight. I don't care if she's bigger than me. I don't care if she's taller than me. It's not happening. You can mark my words.
Well, she had Rain talking for her for a while there, so I don't think she's used to actually having to verbalize her thoughts.
She's definitely not hotter than you.
I didn't see that. Thank you. You are the man. You are the man of the hour, man of the day, man of the week. Thank you very much. I respect you.
Yes, we've
seen. There's not many people who do, honey. Welcome to the list. You're number five, maybe.
And I teased both of them. I said, okay, here's a picture of Alicia. Here's Jessica. And they were going like, and you booked which one? And I was like, Alicia. And they were like, yes. And I was like, okay, cool. I score points because I cater to the listeners that they want someone who, I mean, when WWE touts their divas as, what is it, smart, sexy, and something else, does that irk you that they're touting their divas that way? Or are you like, yeah, that's what I want to be eventually. I want to take that next step and be on Raw, on SmackDown.
I know.
The thing is, with Raw and with SmackDown with the divas, you know, I would really take diva as a term that isn't fair to define all the girls as. Because there are some girls in there that are models. There are some girls that are wrestlers. And, you know, it's that fine line using the word diva to see which one's which. For me right now at this time, what I'm doing is perfect for me. If there is an opportunity later, who knows? You never know. I would never say never to anything that has to do with wrestling because I've learned in the past 10 years that that is a foolish thing to say. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for the female wrestlers that are in WWE, and I have respect for female wrestlers in general. I don't have respect for models, strippers, actresses, snooki getting in the ring, like things like that, you know, get under my skin. But, you know, for what it's worth, female wrestlers, you know, I hold dear to my heart.
Speaking of female wrestlers or someone who's training to be a female wrestler, we've had Larry Dallas on the show, works for Dragon Gate and Evolve, and he works with Rebby Sky or Rebecca Reyes. She was just recently on the Hardy Show online and took a taser gun from Matt and Jeff Hardy. Does this kind of stuff just... is it just like a black eye when you're like, okay, what are you doing? Go to the ring and learn to wrestle before you even jump with these guys?
That's the thing. You really, you know, it's going to be really hard to get any kind of respect or name with anyone that's been working so hard in wrestling without getting in the ring and really, you know, making a name for yourself and proving yourself to everybody. So, I mean, like, tasering people and doing this and that and all these other crazy things, like, why? You know what I mean? Like, it really takes away credibility from the girls that are working hard or just people in general who are working hard to keep a good name on the business. So I got to tell you one thing. I wouldn't mind tasering Jessica Havoc, and I really wouldn't care what anybody said. So at the same note, like, it is what it is.
And the event, as I mentioned, is the 4th annual Uncensored Rumble. It takes place the end of this month. So if you're going to watch Ring of Honor on the 26th and you're going to watch Kenny King possibly win the World Tag Team titles, you need to get some money together. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 the day of the show. The ticket allows you to be a part of a meet and greet, which takes place from 4 to 6. Bell time is 7. Now, if you want to order in an iPay-per-view like most likely we're going to do, you need to go to GoFightLive.tv. You can order it in advance for $9.99 or day of. It is $14.99. You, as you mentioned, are big into the Twitter. Give your Twitter account for everyone so they know how to find you.
Hey, everybody. My Twitter name is Alicia. A-L-I-C-I-A, did it, D-I-D-I-T, like I did it. So Alicia did it. You can find me on Twitter. Please tweet me, follow me. I respond to pretty much everybody, so feel free to reach out to me, and hopefully all of you will get to either go to the WSU event or watch it on iPay-per-view, and I'd love to hear what everybody, including everyone on the show, has to say about it. And I want to know what you guys think when you're not able to recognize Jessica Havoc's face because I've ruined it.
I have a question for you, though.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
If I take my shirt off and show my sexy lumberjack belly and take some Anthony Weiner-style pictures of me in my boxer briefs, will you respond to them if I Twitter them to you?
I absolutely would. I would, yes, with a fabulous comment, depending on the picture. So
yes,
feel free. You can tweet me to add Alicia did it with your, you know, topless lumberjack photo. Then I'll be happy to answer
this. Yes. Oh, dear, you have no idea how much you've made me happy. A woman who understands sarcasm, I love you. I hope you go far in this business. I really do.
Coming, stay with us. Coming up after the break, we will talk about Monday Night Raw and SmackDown as we move to Capital Punishment, which is on the 19th of this month. You're going to have 2 weeks in a row of pay-per-views. So stay with us on World of Wrestling Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Spit it out, 'cause I'm dying for company. I notice that you got it, you notice you take it to the next level, baby. If you want this good bitch, sicker than the remix, baby, let me blow your mind tonight. I can't take it, take no more. Never felt like this before. Come on, get me on the floor. DJ, what you waiting for? Oh.
Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest names stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the Model Martel.
This is the King of Old School, Keith Carino.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G. This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19-2-6-6, sucker!
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of onlineworldofwrestling.com. OWW Genesis, it's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O double G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio, and if you ain't down with that, I got two words for ya. Suck it!
I'm trying to bathe my A in your Milky Way. I'm a legend, I'm irreverent, I be reverent, I be so far, we don't give a fuck, Welcome to the danger zone, step into the fantasy. You are not invited to the other side of sanity. They calling me an alien, a big-headed astronaut. Maybe it's because your boy Yeezy get ass a lot.
Thanks to Alicia from WSU for joining us. WSU Wrestling is the home site for that wonderful promotion. If you haven't seen any of their stuff, this is the same promotion that had the feud of the year in many people's minds of Angel Orsini and Mercedes Martinez, who at one point not only wrestled each other inside a steel cage, they had a 60-minute iron match that ended up going 72 minutes. Awesome Kong and Amy Lee nearly killed each other in this promotion, and they like each other. So you have no idea what's going to happen at Uncensored Rumble 4 on the 25th. That's a very busy weekend. You've got that on the 25th. You've got the 26th, and that Sunday you've got WWE's Capital Punishment. Which they keep teasing Obama's going to be there, so I suddenly see Abraham Washington being called up from FCW because the dude looks an awful lot like him. Don't forget, we are brought to you each and every week by the Wild Talk Radio Network. They have some great programming that you can get downloaded on podcast each week, and we'll mention all those programs later. We're going to talk some WWE in the closing segment here. WWE announced it's interesting that WWE did this, but the first wife of the legend of Gorgeous George Wagner, his wife Betty Wagner, unfortunately passed away at the age of 98. She died in Gearhart, Oregon, last week. She was actually, if you watched the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony that inducted the legend of Gorgeous George into the Hall of Fame in Phoenix, that's who did the acceptance speech. WWE actually bought the rights to a publication that came out in 2008, which was an amazing book. I got to read it by John Capuano. I'm sorry if I'm getting your name wrong, sir, called Gorgeous George, the outrageous bad boy wrestler who created American pop culture. And they actually plan to release it through WWE Studios, whether it'll go straight to DVD or it'll have a theatrical release or not. I'm just trying to picture, and I'll ask Spug and Mazer, because you've seen some footage of Gorgeous George in your lifetime, especially from the Hall of Fame. Is there a Hollywood actor you could put into this part, or does it have to be an unknown wrestler out there that, you know, can go and channel this icon that many picked from? Even to this day, you look at TV and you go, hey, Gorgeous George right there. You know, look at Ric Flair, Buddy Rogers, Jesse Ventura, Superstar Billy Graham. Everyone at some point or another is picked from Gorgeous George. So if you're the producers of this film, Spug, can you name a couple Hollywood actors you'd like to see in the role?
Give me a second. Busy tweeting.
Oh, Lord. Leave Alicia alone. She just got out of her job.
I'm sending her a thank you.
We appreciate that.
So, F off, sir.
As for your question, Alan, it's sort of hard to pick anybody for any type of roles in Hollywood these days. Like, you could name somebody that doesn't look anywhere near the person they're supposed to represent, and with today's, you know, makeup artists and stuff, they can suddenly transform them into the person they're supposed to be. So it's sort of hard to nail anyone down, really.
Now, well, could you see, I'm just trying to picture Hollywood actors that are around his age range that they're going to shoot for. I mean, you can see, could you see a Matt Damon going into the ring? Because he's gone blonde. He went blonde for the Clint Eastwood film Invictus. So, I mean, he could pull it off again. You've got to find somebody that can pull off the arrogance of Gorgeous George, but be totally different. Because if you read Mr. Capua's book, he's so not what you're expecting when you see Gorgeous George.
Could be a Matt Damon. Or even a Ryan Reynolds. You know, I don't know. I don't know exactly who I'd put in the role.
Or would you rather just see an actual doc on his career as opposed to doing something like this? Doing an actual theatrical film on him. That's it. It's a different time frame. You got to remember, Gorgeous George was around 1940s, around that neat little invention we take for granted called television. So
I'd actually like to see WWE do a doco like they've done for so many others. Where's that set?
I mean, like the actual legends of the ring, like a Lou Fez or Pat O'Connor or Buddy Rogers. Dad got to see.
WWE had owned the video library for most of Gorgeous George's stuff, wouldn't they?
They may and may not, because he was on TV in the 50s. I'm trying to remember stories that my grandfather and my father told me of seeing him. So my grandfather got to see him at the second or third version of Madison Square Garden, which was actually nowhere near where it is now. It was up a little further, and he said that when Gorgeous George was everywhere, but he was based, I believe he was mainly based in California. So, I mean, it all depends. I said when they got the book, I don't know if the author surrendered stuff as well. If you were a fan of the previous two books by Mr. Chris Jericho, and that would be A Lion's Tale, Around the World in Spandex, or his most recent publication, Undisputed, mark 2013 down on your calendar. And if you're with those conspiracy theorists, we may not make it there, because Chris Jericho has come out and said he is going to do a new biography, which will kick off where he left off in his return to WWE in 2007. We're all about social media here. We've embraced it. Jericho, through his Twitter account, said, contract is in the mail, so it's official. There's going to be a third book. Interested in this at all, Mace? Do you think the first two, did you like either of the two books that he put out?
Sorry, Alan, did you ask that to me? I'd put my headset off for a second.
Yes, sir. Did you care for either of Jericho's two books, and would you be interested in a third?
I'll be honest, I've never read them. I haven't actually read them.
They're sitting somewhere in your room, but you just haven't gotten there yet.
No. I borrowed, I think it was his first one from a friend of mine. Never really got around to having time to read it before I gave it back to him. So I haven't actually sat down and read Jericho's books. I've heard they're really good. But then again, I'm more of a Mick Foley fan. So.
Now, has Spug read either book?
No.
Damn, you guys are wonderful with your. I know I did. I've read both. Sirach in his little email he just sent to me said he enjoyed the second one.
I sent you an email? Am I the Royal General Manager or something?
No. Well, you say you never talk. You're not talking on this show, and now magically you're talking.
I wasn't talking earlier. I was making a website. Yeah, Chris Sarko's second book is really, really good.
Yeah, and if you've never read it, he goes into his stint on a reality singing show, The Birth of Fozzie, which is, if you're into his musical career, it is a lot of fun. But it's not even being put out. The last two are actually put out by Grand Central Publishing. That's who put that out. He's going with a group called Penguin Publishing, so good for him. We had a very interesting WWE week. Don't forget, go to the stores today. You can pick up the best of WCW Nitro. I'm excited because...
Remember, people, Mace likes gifts, so please send copy. Hint, hint.
Aren't you a douche?
A little bit of a nudge, nudge. Hook a brother up type thing.
Hey, I'm sending DVDs out towards particular somebody as of this week.
Ooh. Yeah, if I knew how to copy copy DVDs.
I possibly committed at least 3 federal crimes in doing what I did for you, buddy. I don't want to hear it. $40 in DVDs isn't too much to ask.
Wow. Yeah, your host for that event is the one and only Diamond Dallas Page. We ran down some of the matches that are on this thing, and it does cover every era. I wish it didn't have the Vinnie Rue era, but hey, can't ignore it as much as we can ignore it as much as we want, but we can't. Before we go into WWE.
You just absolutely made no sense there. We can ignore it as much as we want, but we can't. What?
It's impossible to ignore. It's there.
Sense,
it's
motherfucker, do you make it?
Available through Wild Talk Radio.
Available at tbradio.ewzone.com.
Damn right. Buy the shirt, buy the podcast, buy the button.
And the keychain.
Absolutely. Get a keychain. We'll podcast and tell you everything that we don't want you to tell in an interview, but who cares? Yeah.
Seriously, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long day.
Seriously. We can ignore it as much as we want, but we can't.
Welcome to watching TNA on any given night. Because that's how it feels to watch that stuff and just go, huh?
Please pick an answer and stick with it. Otherwise, STF you.
Did we suddenly lose Rock as a producer and get Vince Russo?
Oh, you're fired, Mace.
Oh, I was fired.
Yay,
the other day.
Add another one to the tally, Spug. I'm catching up to you.
Yes. Yeah, I was actually fired by Tim. I was surprised. All of a sudden, I got this thing from Tim. By the way, you're fired. And I'm like, I was fired? I don't know where I was hired.
No, that's Tim's way of venting his anger at you. You probably did something to anger the Canadian. Welcome to the club. I get one of those at least twice a day. At least twice a day. Sometimes 3 times a day if I did something good enough.
Yeah. All right. Let's delve into Friday Night SmackDown, because, yes, I did get to watch it after you guys.
Let's not.
Yeah, I want to get into it because it had some interesting qualities to it. I did enjoy this program, which, unlike some people that used to do radio shows, they were boycotting shows. I'm not boycotting. It's just a matter of remembering, okay, DVR, can't do it Friday night. Crap, there's too much stuff on. Thank you for Universal HD for airing Raw and SmackDown on Saturday nights, because... Which is still rumored to be where they're going to put their WWE cable channel when they ever get around to it. They're supposedly going to take that whole thing over. You guys...
God damn it!
What?
Seriously?
Yeah, that's
all
my...
the Gaga songs?
Shut up. There's a reason why. I'll explain later.
Are you gay? Are you coming out to be born this way?
I'm openly straight, and thanks for noticing. There's a reason behind the song. We'll get to it when we get there, man. Relax. All right, you guys talked about it on Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night after Jeremiah's interview, which, once again, go to Wrestle Talk Radio, download that interview. It was one of the better interviews you're going to hear from anyone with involving Tough Enough, including our own one we did with Ryan Howe.
Fuck him.
Another show is following along in our track. Amazing. I swear the other shows are looking at our roster going, hey, they interviewed him. Awesome. We'll take him too.
And our
I saw it on some.
Now I don't have to worry about being a nice guy and I can call in and rail him.
Absolutely. I'll find it again. I found it on Facebook the other day. You guys had brought up, I'm guessing this is a full-fledged turn. Is he a tweener is the thing I'm still trying to figure out. We had Christian defeat Mark Henry and then, of course, throw a temper tantrum that I want to be in the main event. So Teddy Long says, sure, you're in the main event. You're going to referee Randy Orton versus Sheamus. The ladies were on again. The Divas were on. Tamina and Alicia Fox with Rosa Mendez. Yes, she's still under contract, ladies and gentlemen.
And she does exist.
Yes, and she stopped coloring her hair, that god-awful blondish thing, and went, looks like, to a natural dark. Caitlin and AJ fell again with Natty Neidhart as their manager. We had back-to-back promos. Shocking. Cody Rhodes doing one along with the great Khali with his a new associate, Mr. Jinder Mahal, who defeated Yoshitatsu. Yes, he's also under contract.
He also exists.
Yes, and it's funny because I actually liked him when he worked in FCW, and I said, wow, if he goes up, hopefully they use him right. Damn, was I wrong. Speaking of former FCW talent, Ezekiel Jackson once again had a victory. This time it was by a count-out, unfortunately, defeating Intercontinental Champion Wade Barrett. Hopefully that's a match of capital punishment, and Ezekiel gets some gold to go around that waist. We had another very good competitive match. Daniel Bryan defeating Ted DiBiase minus Maryse, who's now on Raw. Damn you. Cody Rhodes once again showed his dastardly ways by attacking Daniel Bryan, all to be saved by the super trampoline man himself, Sin Cara, who is amazing. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Hold on, Jersey. Yeah, she can call in if she wants in a minute or two here, because when we finish with our SmackDown talk, she's got some interesting stuff on R-Truth she wants to vent. Your world champion Randy Orton defeated Sheamus after Christian had that damn pesky elbow injury. Hate when that tennis elbow acts up or whatever. Magically was able to count three after an RKO, but, you know, amazingly, the former champ guys walked out with the gold. So you guys talked about it on Sunday. Do you still stand by it? Do you think this is a full turn heel, or is this a short term just to get him to do a Shades of Grey with him until they figure out what to do with the character of Christian?
I has no idea. Mind you, I will still say I called it. And the other thing is, like, I know they're no longer the tag team champions, I think. Big Show and Kane don't hold the belts, do they?
Nope. It is Michael McGillicuddy and David Otunga. Big Show was run over, in quotes, but
that's right,
Show
that's
on
right.
Raw.
Okay. Thing with that, last night, doing up DVDs for Spug, I happened to pull one out of the collection just to make sure it was working properly. And it had a couple episodes of Raw and SmackDown. First match out the gate was Big Show and Kane as the tag team champions up against Eminem back in the day. So this was 2005. How many times have they gone with this Big Show and Kane tag team? Is this the, we have nothing for you, let's put you two together?
That seems to be the thing with everybody, though. It's like, okay, creative can't figure out something for you as a single, so, okay, who's also on the roster? No,
yeah,
no,
but reusing
no.
Reusing the same team?
They did it with Undertaker and Kane on and off, but they're brothers, in quotes. I guess that works.
It was just a random thing I noticed last night. And for those of you wondering what episodes I was watching, it was the Eddie Guerrero tribute specials.
Ooh.
Yeah. I tell you now, here it is. It's been, you know, over 6 years since Eddie passed. I still tear up in the beginning of those shows.
Yeah, I totally don't blame you. I would feel the same way too. Lost a great performer and he still felt all around the business to this day.
Yeah.
And that's
but,
a good thing.
To run back on the SmackDown, Christian turning heel is probably just going to be until they can work out who else they want to turn heel. But maybe this is the thing that gets Christian to the main. Who knows?
No, and that's the thing, Spug, is it's just who is – let's go to this roster real quick on SmackDown. If you can you just turn Kali heel now that he's with Jinder Mahal. You've got the core. You've got DiBiase and Rhodes doing their thing, and you've got Mark Henry. Isn't Christian as a heel going to get lost?
Not sure.
Isn't he going to get lost?
Not sure. Not really sure, but I guarantee he's more talented than the other heels they have on that roster. He's more talented than the other heels they got on that roster. You know why? Because Great Khali couldn't wrestle his way out of a piss-soaked paper bag.
Gee, aren't you just the wordsmith tonight?
I win.
The name no, of we're the, playing this game, are we?
The name of the game is I Win. This is where
and
you
want Skype, oh my god.
Alan, can you hear us?
Yes, I hear everything. The world has not ended yet. It just seems that for some reason my house does not like Skype.
The rapture's taken, Alan! Oh no!
Kirk Cameron's coming for me right now. He's going to make me watch episodes of Growing Pains once again. Oy.
No shit, I turned on the religious channel the other night, saw Kirk Cameron on there. I was like, what the hell? It's 3 a.m, yep. What are you doing on my TV?
He's selling Bibles, brother. Yeah, let's move to Raw. Because as of this moment, you... Why not?
Just move on, Alan.
Can we have Rock play the Yankee Doodle Dandy music?
Let's keep going. Keep going, Alan.
I'm going. We're always going here. Orton does not, I believe Orton does not have an opponent for capital punishment yet. Is that correct?
We'll find out this Friday night.
It will be
My
announced.
Balls.
Okay.
My balls are his opponent.
All right. There you go. Congrats to them. We do have a new match for capital punishment that came out of Monday Night Raw, and that will be student versus teacher. I guess you can call this The Miz taking on Alex Riley. We still have booked already John Cena defending the championship against R-Truth.
No. Can we call that what it is? Can we call that what it is?
Yeah.
It's John Cena retaining the title against R-Truth.
Yeah,
let's call
Girl
it what it
has,
is.
Okay, Jersey Girl wants to call him.
I want
to
call
get
her really. Her, go ahead, come on.
Okay, Jersey Girl says R-Truth, Little Jimmy Walker, and his catchphrase, Dynamite.
That happened
I don't know
in
if
the
Jimmy
70s.
Walker,
move on.
Yeah, I don't know if Jimmy Walker's JJ's going to let that up, man. I mean, WWE can throw some money at him, but I don't know.
Listen,
I guess Mace, your thoughts on this.
Mace, let's call this for what it is. It's the white man beating the black man down because he deserves it.
Oh, wow.
If Spud listen, can be racial for a minute.
Yeah, the views expressed by Spud Guy do not reflect those of the Wild Talk Radio Network. And continue.
So send the hate mail to Spug at WildTalkRadio.com.
I'm sorry, But what self-respecting individual allows their boss to parade them out in front of millions of people like that and literally put on every racial stereotype associated with being a black man? Ron Killings was an NWA heavyweight world champion.
Two times, my man.
And last night you paraded him out there in a knockoff, horribly done Confederate general's uniform in Richmond, Virginia. Then you had him feign ignorance as if he couldn't spell conspiracy. You have him talk like he's a slave from the 1860s with a little Jimmy and a yes, master. Seriously, dude.
All he needed to finish that off was a piece of watermelon and some grape drink.
Exactly. And I'm not saying it, this, you know, it's John, you know, the white man keeping the black man down because he deserves it to be racial. R-Truth deserves it because of his ignorance. If you're going to allow this to happen, why should I respect you as a wrestler?
Because they're paying him a crap load of money?
I don't care. Bret Hart spit on Vince McMahon in the middle of a ring in 1997 because Vince McMahon screwed over Bret Hart because Bret Hart didn't want to give up the title in Canada. In Canada. Bret Hart had no problems giving the title up. He just didn't want to do it in Canada.
I don't know, like, I don't know what the WWE is thinking. Here it is, every week on Raw, we're seeing this Eliminate the Hate campaign. So, can we get the rest of that, which is Eliminate the Hate, but keep the very thinly veiled, very offensive racism in there, because that shit's funny.
Yeah, and also this is the same promo that you see the Bella Twins on talking about that stuff, but oh, by the way, let's have them mock Awesome Kong or Karma for going to have a baby. And that's the fun part of all this. But it's one of those things. It's getting the character over, and people are popping for it.
People are popping.
Stupidity knows no limits.
That's
one thing that I have noticed. Yeah.
He's getting the wrong kind of heat. If he was getting legitimate heel heat, that would be one thing. He's not. He's getting the wrong kind of heat. People are popping for it and making fun of him. They're not, embracing the character to cheer against him. They're mocking and making fun of him because of his alleged ignorance.
Jersey Girl in our chat room said, again, I'm wondering when R-Truth turned into Kunta Kinte from the film Roots. Ow.
That's next week.
Shilsa brought up in there again, stupid idea to mock a huge pregnant woman with raging hormones that can eat you. Ow. She's not hanging out with Rampage Jackson, as these two would like to say, but.
Damn it! You stole my thunder! You went there! I was about to say, I wonder if Rampage Jackson.
But KMace did it to me earlier, so we're even.
I was about to say, I wonder if Rampage is the baby daddy.
Oh.
Actually, there's reports of who the baby daddy is online.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, I'll pull that information up as you continue your show. This is OW Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and we're live each and every Tuesday night, so whether if you're sitting somewhere going, yeah, there's a show on, they're interrupted by a baseball thing. No, we're not interrupted by anything.
Oh, we just interrupt ourselves and derail the show.
Absolutely. So he actually was in the ring. Yeah, he was actually involved in the ring with WWE Chairman Vince McMahon. and Stone Cold Steve Austin when all this stuff went down. So it's... I think I know this guy.
That's him? Yeah,
don't click on that link. That may not be a... Ooh, you clicked on the link. And now it made funny noise. Oh, there we go.
Oh my god.
Whoa.
I thought I was ugly. Interesting... Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay, to get back to Raw, because we'll recap it as fast as we can here. It was actually interesting to see R-Truth. How am I losing it?
Just keep going.
Yeah. But I mean, was it a surprise to see Vince come out for Tough Enough and actually stick around for the opening and tell the Raw general manager to shove it? He told Cole to sit down and the Raw GM to shut up too. So doesn't that kind of do your storyline in a little bit?
So he told Michael Cole to shut the hell up. We all know that Michael Cole is the anonymous GM.
Well, you guys talked about it on WrestleTalk Radio. Could you see the recently released Mick Foley making a WWE return to be the GM?
Wait, is that Kofi Kingston?
I'd like to see Foley rock up as a general manager, only because I remember when he was the commissioner. And he
was
actually
a lot of fun.
Amusing,
had a nice
and entertaining.
We had kazoos and streamers when he was commissioners, and so does Rule.
Many people would like, I actually had a friend that joked to me the other day and said, I want Zack Ryder. And I go, why? He says, because I want him on TV. And I'm like, guess what? You got him on TV. Because he took on U.S. Heavyweight Champion Kofi Kingston. Since we're bringing up Kofi's name, I'll get this out of the way. You had Dolph Ziggler and Vicky on commentary. They're actually really good. I like the commentary work that is being used by Dolph. And I'm looking forward, if that's a match that's coming to Capital Punishment, I would like to see it once again. I think it would be very entertaining. You had Santino Marella defeat Michael McGillicuddy, one half of the WWE Tag Team Champions. Kelly Kelly and Beth Phoenix defeated the Bellas. We were treated again to Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk. Does this kind of annoy you at all that we're getting rematches, or do we like this matchups enough to want to sit through it multiple weeks?
In the case of Punk and Mysterio, they've been putting on good enough matches that a series between them isn't a bad idea. Mind you, you forgot to mention, a wild Santino appears.
Yeah?
Go Mavs, go! Go Mavs, go!
Yes, the Mavs game is continuing, but yes, they did kind of mention on Raw that it is sort of turning into a mini-series between Rey Mysterio and CM Punk, so Capital Punishment for the final match?
Why not?
Sounds good to me. But we had Santino on television!
Yeah, and as I said, you even had Zack Ryder on there as opposed to standing backstage next to Cena going, woot, woot, woot.
Fist bump.
That's how you do it, John.
Fist bump.
To paraphrase a question I was asked on Sunday night, how do you spell Zack Ryder? J-O-B-B-E-R.
Close, but okay.
But you can definitely check him out. I believe it's the Long Island Ice Z. What's the exact name of his YouTube show? Does anybody know it?
The Z True Hollywood Story. It's the Long Island Ice Z. I guess you find him on Twitter? I don't know.
I think he's on YouTube as well.
Whatever. Go Google Zack Ryder. You'll find him.
Alright, we were treated in certain ways to Booker T. They actually said it was the first time Booker, other than his Royal Rumble appearance, it was his first time back in a WWE ring in 4 years?
First Raw match in 4 years.
First Raw match, okay. looked really good.
Raw match, not wrestling match, because he did that for a little bit in another company. Kind
of. With a mafia of some kind.
Could you really say that's wrestling, Mace?
That's why I said kinda. That's why I said kinda.
Listen.
Shut up.
Being a main eventer in TNA is like putting on a blue helmet and slap fighting with a couple of kids who like Windows for a profession and calling it a 12-round knockout.
Don't forget, Stephen God for Jeremy Borish. If you're listening, it's bug@wildtalkradio.com.
Oh, please.
Jeremy Borash, please call in.
Please do email me. I'll tell you how much I hate your product.
He's part of that 10%.
Be careful. Don't say hate your face. I believe Steve Corino is trying to copyright that phrase.
No, that's fine. He can have it. I told him I was going to steal it, and he said I could.
Yeah, we want that as a T-shirt. We should have Corino on a shirt. I hate your face. Or it's Corino. Steve Corino says I hate your face. We had Booker T defeat Jack Swagger by count out, and then have him attacked again by Evan Bourne. Is this like a downward progression with Swagger, or are we fine with the way he's being used to elevate Evan Bourne once again?
You have to go
either
down.
Either one of you can take it.
You have to go down before you can come up. That's all I have to say. That's not a double entendre. That's being serious. He did something to piss somebody off, and now he's paying his dues for it.
Yeah, and he has a weekly storyline that's better than it was on SmackDown. So I guess that's positive.
Whereas Michael Cole once said, nobody remembers his world title reign, so at least he's being used.
Michael Cole needs to shut the hell up anyway.
We've got 9 seconds left in that game. Wow.
Yes, we have 9 seconds left in the Mavs Heat game. So
Go Mavs! Send it back to Miami tied 2-2. It'll be a series then.
Isn't it 2-3-2?
Yeah, it's a 2-3-2.
Oh, so there's one more game.
Okay, so it should be over now?
Up one, 9 seconds to go. So
you said that 9 seconds ago.
There's a timeout on the court, so continue.
Mace, you don't realize how long the last 10 seconds of a basketball game really are.
Yeah,
it could take 10 minutes.
I haven't watched NBA games since Michael Jordan actually played basketball.
NBA Jam for the win.
Damn right, NBA Jam rocks.
Have they had on that E3 thing, have they shown the WWE 12 game yet?
Tomorrow.
Oh, it is tomorrow, okay. Is there a website you can go and watch that stuff, or is it just on Spike TV and G4, the television network?
For practically 24-hour coverage, go to gametrailers.com. They have a specific E3 section where they show replay. All sorts of wonderful, wonderful games and stuff and press conferences and what the hell is the Wii U by Nintendo? What the hell are you thinking?
We'll find out tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern on Otaku Talk Live.
We had an interesting pairing in the main event of Monday Night Raw, and that would be R-Truth and The Miz taking on Alex Riley and John Cena. Little awkward to see A-Rai and Cena together there. It's almost like what they're trying to do with Cole and Lawler. They want you to forget that it ever happens.
But at least backstage, John Cena said he really doesn't trust them. So they're kind of at least playing off the history.
Yeah, but are we surprised at the reaction he's getting when he goes through the curtain? Is it just the fans despise Miz that much? Night Jersey, thanks for stopping by.
Of course, that's exactly what it is. You could have had the Brooklyn Brawler beat the crap out of The Miz, and suddenly the Brooklyn Brawler would have become a main eventer.
Yeah, our evening ended with R-Truth and The Miz losing because Riley tagged him with the infamous briefcase, and then your referee, Stone Cold is your referee for the evening. Always love those impartial refs. Who hit one of the four competitors in the ring? What a Stone Cold Stunner. One little bit of a problem here. The Raw General Manager chimed in and said, No. I'm calling for a disqualification. The winners of the match, The Miz and R-Truth. Except one little problem with this whole thing. The piece of paper is back on the laptop keyboard, so don't tell me the Raw's emailing in. Nice try, boys. Fix it. I thought we were using the iPad. That's not an iPad he's talking on. I've seen the iPad. Oh, get with the technological know-how, please. Pretty please. We're actually going to get an interesting Monday Night Raw next week. 3 hours from the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Uniondale, New York. You're going to have a guest general manager. That's right. Stone Cold Steve Austin is your general manager for the evening. And the game is over. The Dallas Mavericks have won the game. So far out there.
86-83. The Mavs try to get inbound the ball. They lost control of it. Went to the backcourt. He pushes back into the front court. And then Miller chalks. I think it was Miller who tried to put up a three, and it was an air ball.
Now go to the four-letter network. They will give you post-game analysis.
So the Mavs won?
The Mavs won. 86-83.
Yep. Yes!
Tied at two, babe.
Yes! Suck it, LeBron James.
Are either one of you excited for a three-hour Raw All-Star night with GM Stone Cold Steve Austin? Thank you for those eloquent words. Do you have anything to follow up with on that? Yes, each and every week they are here. They're super entertaining, believe me.
Aren't you glad you keep us for 3 hours? Because the last 15 minutes just gotta suck dick for you.
Not really, because I have this neat little thing I do. It's called I send out notes to wrestling promotions and say, hey, you want to pimp your show with us?
Please, dear God, let you pimp it here. Please, dear God, pimp your show so I don't have to talk to them.
All right, check this out. Victory Crown Championship Wrestling is going to be presenting Old Wounds Never Heal. It is VCCW's debut in Dallas, Texas. Combining modern-day wrestling with an old-school vibe, VCCW is being called reminiscent of the glory days of Texas wrestling. Their professional wrestling combat will emanate from the Southside Music Hall and Event Center, which is scheduled for July 9th of 2011 with 7:30 bell time. The main event will feature a match 2 years in the making. The Underground Icons, Scott Summers, will take on the Beast, Franco D'Angelo. Summers has been top-ranked wrestler in Texas for the last few years, and D'Angelo has been hot on his heels. Also signed are one-man Mike Dell, Brian Breaker, who is fresh off his debut in Pro Wrestling Noah, JT LaMotta will be there, and the 300-pound Manable. You can find them. That's what he's called. Manable. Yep. You can go to victorycrown.com for information on that event. If you were in Central Florida this past weekend, you saw Southern Championship Wrestling hold an event at the Salvation Army Gym. On June 11th at the same venue, which is 700 West 24th Street in Sanford, just off of Highway 1792, Vintage Wrestling will be holding their event. On the card will be former TNA star Jay Lethal. We're hoping that Jay is involved somewhere along the way. Hold on, let me bring up their site. Because there are some other good matches on there, and unfortunately, their press release didn't give them all. I know Simon Says is involved in this event. I believe their heavyweight champion is Sam Shaw. There it is. Is actually, the event is called This Saturday in Sanford. Jay Lethal will be taking on the Essential Eric Cooper. The Vintage Tag Team Champions, Thomas Marr, the Chocolate Rocket, and Dancing Machine Bobby Fauna will take on the New Eurekans. One half of the NWA World Tag Team Champions, Corey Chavis of the Dark City Fight Club, will take on King Francisco Chiazzo, who is accompanied by his court of Sir Pete Cannon and Squire Storm. And in a heavyweight match, the marquee Bruce Santee is going to take on the cold-hearted player, and that is Danny DeMonto. The event, tickets are $12. Bell time is 7:30. You can go to wrestlingvintage.com. That is the address for that event. And on Sunday, June the 26th, actually there's two events for this promotion. Definitive Wrestling International will hold an event at the Riverview Flea Market, 7415 Highway 301 South in Riverview. 1 o'clock bell time, tickets are $5, and on the 26th, they will hold the Malenko Memorial Cup. It is a Memorial Cup event in tribute to, Boris Malenko, the great, star of the 60s, 70s, father of Joe and Dean Malenko. Joe will be there along with Malenko School alumni such as Rusty Brooks, Jeff Bradley, Jumbo Beretta, Wild Thing Al Hardiman will be there. You can go to DWIProWrestling.com. There will be a Malenko School alumni battle royal. Robbie Cook, the son of Bob Cook, will take on J-Dog Brooks, who is the son of Rusty Brooks. So definitely check that out. It's $5 for, the event. And as mentioned, in 2 weeks, we are scheduled to have Shimmer Star and now looks like WSU Star Allison Danger is scheduled to be here. So mark that down on your calendar. She's another person that can kick some ass big time in the ring. We're possibly going to have, some folks from Ring of Honor in the next couple weeks. We're working on that. We're working on a lot of things each and every week here. We're not doing any more of the Tough Enough folks. So the folks that had Eric Watts on, nice. We did that last week and Wild Talk Radio, Wrestle Talk Radio did it 2 weeks ago. So thanks for catching up with the curve. I am not alone on this network. I am joined each and every week by a great list of shows. And as mentioned, these two gentlemen and the Omega host OTL tomorrow night. Is it going to be all E3 stuff? Or explain what the heck E3 even means for people that don't speak the language, if you can, real brief.
E3 is the Electronic Entertainment Expo, otherwise known as the great big nerdy thing with lots of video games. Basically, this is where Microsoft, Sony, EA, Ubisoft, Acclaim, not really around anymore, Activision, they can't be done because they're usually done at BlizzCon. Basically, lots and lots of developers going, here's stuff to buy for the next 12 or so months. In terms of things like Capcom's new footage of Street Fighter X Tekken, I'm going, Capcom, here's my fucking money now, give it to me now. But we'll be going over new game announcements, having a look at, well, hopefully some talk on some of the new trailers, and there is going to be a debate between Omega and myself over the new Nintendo console, the Wii U. He believes that it is innovative and awesome. I believe it's just an updated Wii with an iPhone attached. So you'll get to hear that argument tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WorldTalkRadio.com.
Nowhere near it.
You'll be the guy
be listening
there
and laughing his ass off.
You'll be the guy sitting there with the popcorn going, "This is great, man." Yeah, is there UFC this Saturday? UFC, it's the DeSantos Carwin event. That's what we were talking with Kenny King about, right? This is DeSantos Carwin.
DeSantos Carwin fight.
Alright, and you guys will be on at 9 o'clock?
Uh huh.
And that's usually followed by the wonderful folks of CB Radio, Sir Rock, and anything cooking for that night yet so far?
It's Tuesday at 11:55. It talked to us at midnight-ish, and we'll actually have something to talk about Saturday night, midnight-ish. Join myself, Rob Parks, and Subway as we talk the wacky, the weird, and the unusual. CB Radio.
And also an added, a couple of added bonuses to this week's tap-outs to knockouts.
Ooh, we gotta mention it. Yes, go ahead.
One of which I will mention, the other Spug will mention. The one I am going to mention is I am more than likely going to be hungover. The night before is my friend's birthday, as is the annual tradition for me. A couple of bottles of at least 60 to 70% proof homebrew bourbon. Two bottles to myself for the entire night. I am going to get rat shit. Next day, I'm either going to be hungover or still dead. We'll find out. And the other one, Spug.
Jeremiah Riggs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
We're giving him a call Saturday night, probably at some point. We'll probably call him beforehand. But we're going to give him a call, talk to him, and he's going to come on with us, and we're all going to watch the fight. And he's gonna help us break down the main event.
So there you have it. And then Sunday night, we're covering TNA Slammiversary, and Spug has to watch it.
No.
I'm busy.
No.
Yes.
Spug's busy. I'm busy. Alicia's busy.
Spug will not be here.
Spug should watch it, but everyone else should tune in Saturday, Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. And
there's a lot of things I should do. Doesn't mean I will.
But for the great debate, be there. Everyone should, because it's going to be rigged. It's going to be a sham, but it's going to be awesome. Tune in.
Yeah, okay. I'll explain the music in a moment here. I want to thank Sir Rockin for helping us out, Spug and Mace for helping us out. Wishing Jamal, our buddy Kevin Scott, the best. I know he's sitting somewhere. I believe he's at SUNY Stony Brook. He said, if drugs don't hit me hard, I'm going to tune in. So hopefully he did get to tune in a little bit, and we wish you a speedy recovery. He wanted to be here for Kenny. He's like, crap, I keep missing all these fun guests. So as I said, 2 weeks, Alice in Danger will be here to talk WSU.
When you have gallstones, morphine is fantastic.
Yeah, he mentioned another drug that unfortunately I can't remember off the top of my head.
Demerol?
No, it was something else.
Percocet?
I don't know, but we sound like you're talking about Sabu's travel bag here for a minute, so God. All right,
I'm telling you all the drugs they put me on when I had my gallstones.
I'm sure you had a fun load of stuff. All right. Yeah, so thanks to everybody for being here. The reason I picked this last song is because I found out my ex-fiance listens to this show. So Ava Atherton McKenzie Auergast, for trying to change my life 9 years ago and tell me that wrestling's stupid, you shouldn't be involved in it, you should dress like this, you should conform, screw you, Lady Gaga talks from me, born this way, see ya. So hold ahead.